Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights of the round table, our shows are more, we're able. So many times we give and blind to our quiet unseen label. We're off the bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
hear... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Seize the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table. Yeah, all rise for King Shiz the Terrible. No pushing, no shoving. Plenty of room to the back. All right, well, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one, but three different chat rooms, and even an emergency chat room in case everything goes haywire. Whatever. Don't think we've used that for years, man. It's a terrible little Java chat, alien chat. Speaking of aliens, we're going to have a little fun today. Try to figure out if we were aliens, why we wouldn't want to come to the Earth. The first thing I think about when I think about why I wouldn't want to come to the Earth with the superior technology was because the Earthlings are crazy, man. And to some extent might even be considered nasty.
Infectious.
What do you say, Thomas? Infectious?
Infectious, yeah. I ain't talking about the microbes. I'm talking about the insanity.
Yeah, we got infectious insanity going on out there. So, you know, if you wonder where all this comes from, you look at the headlines out there on the alternative media on YouTube, and the very first picture that pops up in the recommended deal is... It says a CNN anchor gets a public shellacking. It's from High Impact Flix, and you see this dude's one of the CNN anchors that's on the liberal side, the one that basically told everybody that it's illegal to have to possess any emails from WikiLeaks because only the media can see them, and you get your information from the media. I don't know where he got his information, but It's messed up. Either way, the thumbnail on that is the same individual dressed in drag, and he's not a very good-looking woman at all, man. You better stay a dude, because he looks terrible in that photo. And if I was an alien and that was the first face I came down here and saw, I'd be like, I think my mama's calling, and I'd have jumped on that spaceship and took off, man. I would have hit the bricks. Fast.
Man.
Yeah. And I ain't trying to be rude or nothing, but, you know, hey, I'm not blind either. That dude don't make a good-looking lady.
But you need Listerine and not a sip or a swallow, but the whole bottle.
Yeah. Something like that, or some of that moisturizing cream for your face, something. You know those masks they put on, and then after a while you got to peel them off, and they're supposed to tighten up your pores and pull out the dirt and all that kind of stuff.
No, tell us more.
No, I've seen that stuff, man. It's scary when you walk through the house and your wife's trying out this new beauty product and her face is all packed with mud or something like that, you know, and you're about to have a stroke. You're like, what the heck did I just see? Hair all up in rollers and stuff. See, the honeymoon's over the day after, you know. During the honeymoon morning, you wake up and you got like a beautiful lady laying next to you. But after that, you might see mud packs and everything to keep the, you know, rollers up in the hair and all that kind of stuff. And man, it's like it's the sugar that got you in, sucked into getting married. It's now like changed. You see what I'm saying here, man?
Oh man, you're digging yourself a hole.
Yeah, I know.
I am standing back and I'm just gonna laugh when I get buried.
I'm gonna get beat up. My wife's gonna kick the door in. She's gonna smack me around. So what you talk about? The honeymoon's over. I got some chores for you, boy. Oh yeah. So if I was an alien, I wouldn't want to come down here, man. I mean, like, just scanning through the doggone media out there and seeing some of the crazy things that people do and the fighting and the feuding that's going on and the ridiculousness. Heck, one guy's got a video out, Backyard Scientist. I watched some of his videos. He tries all kinds of stuff. He says, can a magnesium fire be put out? Magnesium burns pretty hot. Do you know anything to put out magnesium, Thomas? No?
A vacuum, maybe.
So you'd have to put a big, giant vacuum around that thing?
Yeah.
Well, either way, you know, that's a crazy old backyard mad science guy starting a magnesium fire in his backyard, and heck, man, that could be dangerous. So, what if he was an alien and you landed in his yard and he had a magnesium fire going on, and he's like, well, I'm going to see if I can put this fire out. So, okay, you do that, and then jump back in the spaceship and hit bricks. Like, hey, go down there, they're trying to set fire to everything. Those guys are nuts. So, now, if you had really superior technology, there'd only be, in my mind, only one reason to come down here, so that's like to take over. But they wouldn't even have to, like, really land here and take over. They could just send some sort of doomsday weapon over to wipe us all out, and by the time we get here, the planet done cleaned the mess up, and there ain't no evidence of us even being here. Well, you think that's a possibility? No?
I think it's a waste of resources. They wouldn't need to. They could just wait until basically we either vacated the place ourselves, or wipe ourselves out.
Well, yeah, that's a good possibility that they're sitting back waiting for us to, you know, use our own technology against our own people and do ourselves in, and then once we're all done in, then they'll clean the planet up with their superior technology. See, I think if you've been around the galaxy for millions of years longer than us, and we're like at the Stone Age essentially to them, you have all these technologies where you could literally, like you was talking about before we came on, but pretty much 3D printing the doggone planet. You know, you got this big giant machine and you just like print out your own planet, or even go out there and terraform a rock that's close enough to the sun and let it do its own job. So I guess that would be something to do if you were an alien. But definitely, I don't think I'd want to come down here, because people down here on this planet they're messed up, man. I'm from this planet, and I don't even know that I even like it here. If I could get me a old spaceship made out of old hot water heaters and washing machines and with a hot tub in it or something like that, I'd blast off this planet and go somewhere else, man. What would you do, Thomas?
I certainly wouldn't be trying to leave in a contraption like that.
Well,
only one word comes to mind when you start talking like that, and that's rattle trap.
Well, you know, it's like we duct tape and gorilla tape. They go a long ways these days, man. You could like seal up some leaks and stuff like that.
You go on, man. You go on.
How bad could it be, man?
You go right ahead. Right ahead. I'm not a hey. I don't know this guy, man.
You mean you'd tell me if I build a spaceship, you ain't going to go for a ride in it?
Oh, man, definitely not now. Not a vehicle for that.
Well, you got to work with what you got. So, see?
Everything's a progression, man. You got to take baby steps, man.
So, basically, what you're trying to say is build it good so you don't have that problem when you get into space?
Yeah, and don't have a problem once you get there either.
Stephen Gibbons said that sodium bicarbonate, when heated, releases CO2, extinguish the fire, stopping oxygen reaching the magnesium. That's a possibility. What do you think?
I'd have to see that. The problem I have with it is that I'm pretty sure the magnesium, once it's on fire, has a stronger affinity for the oxygen than the CO2. Than the carbon does for the oxygen.
Well, from what I understand, back in the days, when I talked to a few firefighters, there's sometimes when they used to have these magnesium wheels, and when they get to the doggone deal, they can't get the doggone things out. So, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, they use magnesium strips to strip the oxygen out of sodium or silicon dioxide.
Well, so we could, when the aliens get down here, if they do decide to come, we could ask them how they do it. I mean, they got superior technology, but once again, I honestly don't think they're going to show up
And I'll say, they're going to get here, and you're going to ask them, hey, how do you do this thing? And they're going to interpret it as, he just said, hey, how you doing? With the eye file.
How you doing? Hola, Lovato, what's happening? That's what I'm going to say to the first alien I see.
They'll be like, we're not really equipped for that, but we got a promo paper if you're really into that sort of thing. Meanwhile, we got to go.
Yeah, well, you know, I've seen a lot of them alien sci-fi movies, you know, those eat-your-face-off movies where the aliens come down and they either want to hunt us or they want to eat us or, you know, something weird like that. The Mars Attacks was the one that kind of stands out in my mind because they come down and the very first thing they say is ack, 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 which loosely translated through that translating machine that says we come in peace. Right before they start shooting everybody. So I'm not so sure I even want aliens to come down here. But nonetheless, if you take a peek out there on the mainstream media or the alternative media, you know, anything's possible in this world. This world done gone bonkers, man. I mean, it's mind-blowing. Here we are in the year 2017, and some of the things that people take the time to argue over, it's just nuts. It don't make no doggone sense. And I wonder how many of these people actually, at some point in their life, look back in retrospect and think about, you know, man, I was really stupid back then. I don't know why I even did that. But, you know, it took them a long time to get to the point where they realize that stupidity isn't the way to move forward, if you understand what I'm trying to say here. You know, like the advancements in society. One of the deals that just crossed up there is all-gender restrooms, man. It's got a picture of Obama looking at an all-gender restroom sign. Well, biology, what they taught in class, is I don't remember them ever saying that there was like a unisex. May have been. Might have been some folks that were born, you know, with things that they probably shouldn't have. But those are going to be attributed to genetic defects, I'm sure. I don't know, man. But either way, there's other things in this world more important to sit around and argue about. But nonetheless, that's one of the subjects out there. There are secret society deals going on out there. And doggone, what the heck is this? Oh, that's a different, that's a metal detecting video. I'm sitting here scrolling through looking at all these recommended videos out there. It says breaking ring of fire eclipse Antarctica planet X.
Yeah, I got a recommendation for you that you not click on those links.
Yeah, well,
you're gonna get brain hacked.
I think maybe to some extent we have been brain hacked. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different things out there talking about mind control and stuff like that, and to some extent, you know, media being propagandizing people, that could be classified as a mild form of mind control, couldn't it? Or torture, for that matter? What do you think? No?
Maybe the hacking, but not the torture part. I don't consider that.
Well, if you was an alien and you wanted to come down here and get everybody on your side, I mean, maybe you put somebody down there that looks like everybody, and then you get them to suckered into thinking this is a nice guy. You follow that one there, and then next thing you know, you can start moving in all your crew that way a little bit at a time. They never even know you showed up. You blend in with society. But once again, if you're an advanced society that's capable of traveling through time and space, for that matter, why would you even want to come down here to this crazy place? People like out there blowing each other up, fighting over resources that you probably, let's say, you know, on your planet, you've been around for a million years longer because you're a couple million light years away from this planet, so you've been out there farther because, according to science, there was this big bang and it spread everything out so it would be common sense to believe that the further you go out, the older the material would be. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Saying the thing is, if you were an alien with the capability of traveling through space from one galaxy to the other, you'd be so far advanced than us, you'd be down here having a picnic with your kids burning some magnifying glasses. Come on, man.
Well, that's possible.
We would be less than piss ass.
Well, that's possible.
The problem with all that, though, is that nature harbors a vacuum. We can see that here with every experiment we've done. So, like he said, if they're that advanced, there's a good chance that they have actually de-evolved in ways that they wouldn't need to remain evolved that way, because they've eliminated the common cold, and they get here and it's still hanging out. All of a sudden, now they're all infected and they're dying.
Yeah. But
they can't figure out why, because they haven't had to deal with it in so long. You know,
let me
give one last little thing, one little antidote to go with that, and that's that there's a series called the Empire series by Asimov, and he indicates that basically there are these people that are the keepers of these nuclear facilities and whatnot that were built so well they would never break down. So these people had de-evolved from scientists to being almost like a religious order over that particular facility. And I can see that easily happening to any culture that's gotten that advanced, and then they've kind of regressed afterwards because the technology made it unnecessary for them to use their brains
I seen a series kind of like that. There were these folks that the computer did everything for them, and by the time many generations had passed, they were basically helpless other than to do their normal tasks, because they didn't have to do anything for themselves because the computer.
Would that be a Star Trek episode?
It may have been.
The second generation. In fact, the computer even had a shield around their planet. to make them invisible, but the shield was destroying their ozone layer, and they were actually getting cancer and dying from their own sun, from the radiation.
Well, there was another one too, though, where I think the episode is actually called Spock's Brain.
Yeah.
They put themselves in this machine that would teach them how to do things, and then shortly after they did it, they would forget how to do it, and they went and took Spock's brain out of his body, and McCoy had to put himself in the machine so he could figure out how to put it back in, and toward the end, he had actually forgotten most of what he had learned from the machine, and going under to get him would have killed him, so he had to hook Spock's mouth up to get him to basically tell him what to hook up, what not to hook up, and then he's like, man, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have hooked his mouth up.
That was the first generation. I remember that one myself.
Yes.
Okay.
And they ended up destroying their culture that they had technologically, and they had to stop existing the way they had before, using technology to propagate their race and go back to actually living like we do here, where we form families and stuff like that.
Well,
because the men lived on the surface and the women all lived underground.
So essentially, on the oil side of it, they would already got so past using fossil fuels because they'd already had all the technology. When they get here, they'd think it was ridiculous that we were fighting over oil.
Right.
But in the same sense, they might have de-evolved to the extent where now they're like timid beings, and they look at us and we're like scary because we're all Neanderthal kind of barbarians, and I don't want to go down there. These guys scare me, you know?
Either that or they show up to have a laugh. Like, look at these guys, man. They keep kicking each other in the groin.
Yeah.
Man.
Stephen also typed back in there that sodium bicarbonate and sodium carbonate fire extinguishers can both be used on Class D fires involving magnesium, sodium, and potassium. Sodium bicarbonate extinguishers can be used. Most metals, alkalis. Okay.
Hey, Thomas.
Plus liquids. Hey, I'm trying to read something.
go ahead.
Plus, liquids that ignite on contact with air, sodium carbonate, salt, fire extinguishers can be used to extinguish fires involving sodium and their alloys.
Say, and booty.
There's a link down here to it. Cool.
That's the answer to the problem that Thomas and I were having about our new jet fuel just the other day. We have chemicals that will burn underwater extremely hot, but yet we need a way to control them. And food and goods just answered one of the biggest problems we're having. That's right.
Cool.
I control that.
That's perfect. Think about that.
Alright, so anyway, back on the aliens, they come from millions of light years away, and by the time they got back here, many generations had passed, unless they did it like really fast, because if you're like futuristic, it don't take you long to get from point A to point B, because in Star Trek, they had warp speed and super warp speed, and then the, what was the doggone show where they had Ludacris and Plaid speed?
Spaceballs,
yeah. And they could get there and turn the whole...
Can you say that on the air?
Yeah, they could get there and say it, turn the whole planet plaid by the time they got here. We're going to plaid speed.
Plaid speed.
Man. Anyway, so they get here pretty doggone fast in that case, but if they didn't and it was a long travel, like from, you know, multiple generations just to get here, by the time they got here, they might even forget why they were heading here. What do you think?
Yeah.
That's a long time to try to remember what your purpose was. When you finally get down here, you'll be like, I don't know why we're here, but these people are freaking me out, man. You know? Have to retreat to your safe space on the mothership.
After the show, that we need to start a group call with Steven Gibbons on it, because I want to talk to him about what he was just saying. Because Thomas and I are working on a new jet fuel. It's twice as heavy as jet fuel, but it's 3.5 times more powerful. But we're having trouble in its burn.
Hmm.
And I think Steven Gibbons could help us out on that.
He might be able to. Put some brilliant minds together. Why? But why do you want to make a more powerful jet fuel?
So we can build base stations, space stations up in the atmosphere.
Well, I just asked Thomas about going for a ride on my spaceship. He wouldn't have no part of it.
I missed that.
Yeah, I'm not interested in any rockets made out of hot tubs, man, or water tanks.
Hot water heaters and you know, you can get those nifty windows out of like washers, front loader washers.
Especially since I know you always use secondhand stuff or stuff that you found somebody else threw out.
So my spaceship would be made out of old appliances, and you know, I could put a microwave oven door for the front windscreen. That way, when we go to block out the radiation, and I could still see outside. You know.
Understand that is a loosely used term for your spaceship.
Well, it'd be cheaper.
I'd say maybe it's more like spaced ship.
I could use like aluminum tape to seal up any cracks that might be, and duct tape to hold the things together, and some rivets and baling wire.
I just hope no one's actually going to try this out there and go, well, he said that I could do it, man. I'm suing him. I got hurt trying to use your idea, Shazuz.
It only works if they can only sue me if I, like, guide them through the process. I'm just, like, saying, you know, you take your hot water heaters and weld them together, and you got your fuel tanks, you know.
Do you have to put your mouth a certain way and believe really hard?
No. But you take your finger, you lick your finger, and you stick it up and see which way the wind's blowing. That way you know what side of the ship to light the wick on.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then you jump in real quick, fasten your seatbelt in, and hang on. You got your football
hat. I mean, then you're on fire.
You gotta be careful. You gotta watch the humidity. Because if the humidity drops below 50%, the chewing gum will dry out and the venom wire will come loose.
Dang, that's not good.
humidity in space. There's not much humidity out there.
I'm gonna build it, and then you guys can go around and kick the tires and see what you think.
All right. That way we're gonna get way back away from it when you light that sucker off. And I'm gonna record it for YouTube too.
All right. Well, if I
gotta make $50 somehow.
If I achieve lift and I make it all the way into space and everything goes well, I'll get to the other side and get a job, and then I will find a used spaceship, like Honest Abe's used spaceships, and I'll buy one of his, and then I'll come back and pick y'all up then. What do you think?
I think it's a good idea, but the thing is, if it don't work, then you're going to go where every man will go in the future.
Boldly go where everyone's gone before?
Go where everyone's gone before, yeah. And everybody's ready to go.
My luck, it doesn't get off the ground, starts a big giant grass fire, and I get a big fine from the city for setting fire to everything.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't
get a fine. There's only one way tickets to get to.
Yeah.
There's no round trip ticket.
No, I could have some like parachutes on there, so when I get back, all I got to do is drop into orbit and then float down. What do you think?
Yeah, but before you get down to the point where they're heavy enough to actually use a parachute, you already burn up.
I was gonna say, just so long as you're not trying to use weather balloons in a lawn chair.
Oh.
With you.
I can't remember what the guy's name was, but the Mythbusters actually did a show one time.
Wow.
Even though I'm not a fan of the Mythbusters anymore for obvious reasons, but they did a show one time about a Chinese emperor that took some fireworks and stuck them to the bottom of a chair and tried to launch himself up into space. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Not what I'm saying. I think I know the situation. I think that, but the guy's name, no.
Yeah. Well, either way, they tried to see if that it would be physically possible for you to build, put rockets on a chair. And so, you know that dummy that they always use?
Yeah.
In their crash test dummy? Anyway, yeah. That dummy's been abused. He's been on fire and bounced off of stuff. But either way, I'm going to have to look it up and see if I can find the name of Emperor Wu or something like that. Rocket chair. I'm gonna Google this. You guys are distracting me, man. Rocket chair. Emperor Wu, I think. Okay, let's see. So I'm looking it up. I can't find it so far. Doggone it. Somebody help me out here. We gotta find that guy's the guy deal. He made a rocket chair. Alright, well, while you guys are sharing video over there and distracting me, I'm sitting here trying to find the emperor that made the rocket chair.
The only thing I'm thinking of is that emperor that saw the guy with the wings that he made, and he's flying around, and he says, "Oh, you made that? Have him come here." He brings me in, he's like, "Oh, yeah," he's all proud of making his flying machine. He's like, "Yeah, that's really great. That's such an advancement." And have him killed and burn that thing before somebody starts using it to drop rocks on us.
Oh, well, you know, there was, I think I remember a story of a guy called Icarus.
Yeah.
That built some wings out of wax and something like that and flew too close to the sun and wiped out.
You and the sun both.
But while I'm looking up rocket chair, there's a Japanese massage chair prank where a guy's got like a rocket on the back of it and it's out in the snow blasting across the deal. Oh, okay, there you go. The One Who rocket chair. You guys still there?
Yeah,
the guy, I guess the guy's name. Legend has it that sometime in the 16th century, a Ming court official called Wan Hu, court official called Wan Hu, tried to become the first astronaut by strapping rockets to a chair. So, oh, cool. Stephen Gibbons posted a link to Wikipedia with Juan Hu in there. I'll have to check this out. Because I want to see if I can get some ideas from his design.
Yeah.
So, Juan Hu is a fictional Chinese... Fictional? I thought he was real, man. Doggone it, there goes that.
What about the guy that, I mean, was real back in the early 1900s that made rockets fastened to his back? Was on ice skates out on a lake.
Well, sounds plausible.
He put about 10 feet, fell down, and spun around and caught on fire. And luckily, he was on a lake on ice, and he survived, but he had multiple burns.
Man, well, I don't want to go down the burn route. But either way, Juan Hu is a...
The actual video, I mean, that happened.
Either way, Juan Hu is a fictional Chinese official supposedly of 2000 BC or else the Ming Dynasty 16th century, who was described in the 20th century sources as the world's first astronaut by being lifted by rockets into outer space. The crater Juan Hu on the far side of the moon is named after him. I didn't know there was a crater on the moon named Juan Hu.
I didn't either. That's good knowledge. I mean, it's trivia. Won't put a dime in your pocket, but it's nice enough.
You know what's scary about that? If there's a crater named Juan Hu on the moon, then that means that when he hit the moon, he didn't fare so well. He smacked. You know how much power it takes to produce a crater?
Yeah, but there again, think about the realistic part of it. Somebody was thinking about space travel and traveling to the moon that many years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's up in their mind. They just did not have the proper technology. So that goes to show that the more technology there is, the more possibilities of somebody's dream in the past. So it all that right there describes what we were talking about yesterday on Mad Scientist. The laws of physics. Well, if you can do it, then you can. If you think you can't, then you cannot.
Well,
as technology changes, so does the laws of physics.
Apparently, there was somebody named Wang Tu that prior to Juan Hu. So we got Wang Tu and Juan Hu. But it says tradition asserts that the first to sacrifice himself to the problem of flying was Wang Tu, a Chinese Mandarin of about 2,000 years B.C. who, having constructed a pair of large parallel horizontal kites, seated himself in a chair fixed between them, while 47 attendants each with a candle ignited 47 rockets placed between the apparatus put the rocket under the chair, exploding, burning the Mandarin, and so angered the emperor that he ordered severe paddling of Wang. Severe okay. Paddling for Wang. Wow.
Wow.
See, that's why aliens won't come here, man.
Because we're so crazy.
Yeah. So, we got Wang Tu trying to fly with kites and Juan Hu trying to fly with a chair with rockets under him, and we got the doggone emperor ordering a severe paddling of Wang Tu, and dang, man. Stinks to be a human in this planet. So, where do we go to from here, man? We know that if aliens have got the technology to travel this far and they come down and they run into Juan Hu or Wang Tu first, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to think of all the different options, what we should pre-plan for, you know, like the Mars attacks one. That one's really got me concerned because their ridiculousness in that movie was the fact that they come down, say they come in peace, and then they start shooting. Or when we threw the peace dove up, they looked at it as an act of war and started shooting. What do you think?
Yeah. You ever see that TV series called V?
Yeah.
It's for visitors. They came out here and acted like they wanted to show us new technologies and this and that, and the whole time they were stealing our water from our planet.
Yeah, it turned out to be like lizard people.
Right. And they were taking up people and putting them in hibernated spaces and taking them back for food.
Well,
a very similar program was on the Twilight Zone many, many years before the series V. And they were inviting people, the aliens were inviting people to come back to their planet, and this, that, and other. And they had a book, and the Earth people translated the title. They were having a hard time translating the language, and they finally translated the title in To Serve Man. And one scientist, he accepted their invitation to go back to the planet, and as he was on in flight, he translated the rest of the book, or enough of it to realize that To Serve Man was not a book about serving man. It was a book about serving man. A recipe book.
Yeah, cookbook.
A cookbook.
Stephen Gibbons posted a link to a photo with Captain Picard of the... Which episode was that... that Captain Picard was in. That was, doggone it. I can't remember. It's the new one. Next Generation? Is that the right one?
Yeah.
Alright, so either way, he's saying this is why aliens don't visit Earth. And he's probably looking at ludicrous things going on.
Right.
Oh, but man.
Any race of people in somewhere in the universe that had the capability to travel from one galaxy to the other would be so far advanced that we would be looked at as just germs. Something to avoid.
Well, that thing that Thomas mentioned earlier, you know, when they found King Tut's tomb long time ago, and they was inside that tomb, there was a deal for a while that they believed that there was a curse on that tomb because people kept dying because every time they come in contact with that. But it could have very well been that back during those years there was a disease that somehow or another the immune system, cured off, a disease that time forgot.
Right.
And so when we opened up that old ancient land and that disease back out into the planet again, that's why people started dying off again. You know?
Right.
It could have been polio, for that matter. I don't know what the disease
was. Nobody heard about polio until it got really bad. I mean, you know, dead gone, man.
Yeah. So, if you were an alien coming from millions of light years away, you could find a disease that time forgot back here, and so it might not be in your best interest to come down here unless you got inoculated first. And you'd have to know what to, you know, kind of listen in and see what we're dying of before you... Then you'd have to be able to understand our language and understand what it is that we're talking about in order to figure out the medicine and all that. So, you know, there's a lot of things to contemplate on. So I don't think we're going to get invaded anytime soon by aliens. Or there was also a scarier one where what if aliens weren't like little green men? What if they were like little tiny parasites and they were like super advanced and intelligent and they came down and took over our brains and stuff?
Well, you know, think about it. Well, we had a similar situation on Earth. We had ant colonies that worked together. I mean, millions of ants in one colony, but they worked together in unison and built structures that, you know, little kids can't even think about building. Think about that a minute. I mean, you're right. It could be some kind of a little bacteria type thing, protozoan, amoebas, or whatever, that work together and build large spaceships and billions and trillions of them, you know, in one spaceship, but yet they're deadly to man. You don't know. I mean, it sounds far-fetched, but at the same time, how many far-fetched things have we discovered in the past 25, 50 years?
Yeah. You know? So, you know, there's a whole lot of reasons why I can think that they wouldn't want to come down here. But, you know, it just On the Mad Science Show, we're always talking about why it's so doggone aggravating. And here we are in year 2017, and we're still basically using Stone Age ideas. And I don't know, it's just, we should be further along than what we are.
We should be. We have the technology. We have the infrastructure. I mean, you know, there are areas in the world that they're dying of thirst.
It should be.
It's really, right now, the biggest crisis that the people on Earth are facing. And yet they do nothing about it. Absolutely nothing about it when the technology is here and the infrastructure is here. It's already here. This is not even plug and play.
Okay, and I saw a video last night, movie last night on Netflix, and this was basically, it didn't really say what happened, but the gist of it is it looked like it was after a nuclear war or some major disaster that pretty much destroyed the planets and the trees and killed off all the animals on the planet. And his father and his son are wandering around trying to find food and stuff like that. Meanwhile, there's roving gangs of people out there cannibalizing other people and stuff like that. And it's like a real terrible deal. But they basically were teaching their kid and each other, you know, how to kill themselves if they got captured, so they wouldn't get either raped or cannibalized. And you know, I'm like, God, I wouldn't want to live in a world like that. That's messed up.
You know anything about what they call the Little Ice Age, Big Freeze?
Basically,
1600s.
Yeah, basically, a lot of people over in Europe and over in that direction had.
In France, people were actually eating the dead.
Yeah.
Because there was no food. At the exact same time, the people in England, the Thames River, had frozen completely over, solid enough for them to throw parties and have carnivals and all kinds of stuff. That for the first time in known history, no one had ever remembered or even heard stories of the Thames River ever freezing over. But it froze over so solid and was solidly frozen day after day for years. The people actually just went out on it and just had a party.
So I think there's a segment of society that could survive the apocalypse. I think, you know, in our neighborhood, like you and I and Thomas, we'd probably fare pretty well, unless we got surprise attacked by some Neanderthals or some thugs or gangs or, you know, hooligans or what's the other words I can think of?
You know, the thing is, adaptation. The people in England adapted. They changed the type of crops they were planning to eat, and so forth and so on. In France, they didn't. They were stubborn. The exact same thing happened in the early 1900s in Ireland. Their main food crop was potatoes. But it just happened they had a long set of seasons that were extremely wet. And potatoes would rot in the ground long before they got large enough to eat.
Yeah. Well,
then you had the same thing happen just a few years later in Spain and Italy.
If you could survive,
started leaving Italy and coming to the United States. The potato famine, the great Irish potato famine, that's when all your Irish people started evacuating Ireland and coming to the United States.
Huh.
All these things that we said many, many times in the past, he who does not study history is doomed to repeat it. When the weather changes, you don't try to change the weather. You adapt.
You ever seen that video called The Day After?
Oh, I think I did, but I can't remember.
Where they realized that there was going to be an ice age and they had to evacuate everybody from the northern hemisphere down or something like that, down past the equator into Mexico.
I've seen a movie similar to that.
Yeah, well, it's pretty wild. If you could survive the initial freeze, you might have a chance to actually get past it and using science and technology be able to survive and get back to you know, a warmer part of the planet or something like that.
Right.
Anyway, once again, that's probably another reason why aliens don't want to come down here, because the weather's probably jacked up. If you're on an alien planet, you could probably control the weather to the extent if you want it to be sunny outside, you type in the code for sunlight and bam, you got sunlight. You know?
In Yellowstone National Park, they have found a hot water pool that are over 140 degrees. Which, you know, according to science, nothing can survive at over 140 degrees for very long. And then to find out that its sulfuric acid is so strong that it would dissolve a 16-penny nail in a matter of hours. Yet they have found living bacteria in that sun surviving it.
Yeah.
To the point that if you take the bacteria out, in 30 minutes it dies.
Well, there's volcano vents down under the ocean where they've actually done some experiments like that as well and found some microbial life and stuff. So
my point is, at that, when the weather changes adapt, if it changes so abruptly that you cannot adapt, you die. If you don't try to adapt, you die. Well, as the weather changes, adapt.
Back in 2011, I'd put a video out called Earth Tilted. It's kind of neat to go back and look at what you said back then to see how it played out now. Well, nowadays, there's some people out there talking now about how the Earth is tilted. Back then, it was like you was crazy for saying it. But I started noticing that the sun was coming up different than what it used to and farther over, and the weather was changing and crazy stuff was going on. Different trees that were normally accustomed to living in this environment, like I'm getting more evergreens now than I had before.
Right.
Because the weather's literally changed to that extent, and there were like flip-flops in the weather where it actually would be like springtime. All the plants and stuff would start to bloom, and then we'd have a freeze, a late freeze, and then all the plants would, the buds would fall off of them and stuff.
Right.
So we were getting some crazy old weather, and I did a video about it, and I was talking about how the earth tilted, and how if the earth tilted, it would change the weather patterns all the way from top to bottom. And I told them back then you was going to see an increase in seismic activity and, you know, stuff like that, but it wasn't doomsday. And also mentioned in there about there ain't no doggone Planet X out there coming to blast us. And, you know, that's because back in them days, in around 2011, that's when they was talking the doomsday stuff about Planet X was coming to get us. And we're all going to die or something like that. There was going to be a big, massive pole shift because of Planet X. And the planet was going to flip upside down and that kind of stuff. So... Anyway, Stephen said aliens may also be so advanced that they see themselves as part of the universe and extension of it and wonder why we would attack ourselves, hence the quarantine. They would look upon Earth like we look upon cancer cell.
You're right.
Yeah, they wouldn't want to come down here, but they wouldn't want anybody else to stumble on and come down here either and spread the plague of stupidity across the galaxy.
Right, so they would do like we do. They'd come down here with some kind of a ray gun and try to neutralize the entire Earth of light.
Yeah, well, what if it wasn't that? What if it was like, if you live on a different planet, and for some reason you're a real jerk on that planet and they just don't like you or something like that, they can wipe your brain, put you on Earth, you think you lived here all your life, and it turns out you were in prison because of something you did across the galaxy, and so they just basically put all their freaks, geeks, and weirdos down here on Earth.
Oh man, wow. Penal colonies.
Yeah.
You know, states, Canada, Australia, they were penal colonies. Think about it.
Yeah.
You're right.
And so, maybe...
At one time, thousands of years ago, a penal colony for another civilization somewhere else in the galaxy.
Yeah. So maybe the folks that believe we're living under a dome might be right, because there might be some superior technology, like, you guys know what a Dyson sphere is?
Yes.
It's a big giant shell that they put around a sun and a planet to, you know, basically... like a giant space station with its own power.
Right.
Yeah. So,
wow.
We might be in jail, man. We might not even know it. What'd you do on your side of the galaxy, Raymond, to get you thrown here? we were talking about mad science. That's why we got thrown here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, we're not even alive. We're dead souls. We're people that were bad on another planet, and there, as we're bad, they penalize us. So that when we die, they bring our souls here, and now we're being punished.
Holy smokes! You're might trying to like to say that we're on the weird version, like the Twilight Zone version of the HE double hockey stick.
There you go.
I think I know why Thomas got thrown over here.
Yeah.
He's kind of wild, you know. They might have thought he was like a wizard or something like that. We don't do that around here, man. Throwed him down here for getting mouthy.
Yeah, that's like Binky said, what are we going to do with the brain? What are we going to do today, brain? Well, Binky, like we always do, try and take over the world.
Yeah.
That's common.
They always had some interesting plans, and actually in one episode of Pinky and the Brain, they actually did take over the world, but then I think that Pinky made Brain feel bad about it, and so he released everybody. So they finally succeeded, and then because he felt guilty, he let everybody go.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's almost doing that.
Huh?
I don't see Thomas doing that.
No, I think once Thomas got control, he'd keep it.
Yes.
Yeah. Please, sir.
So we need to start calling Thomas B. Thomas the Brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he is one smart cookie. And being smart, if he ever did get control, he definitely would not turn it loose.
Well, some people might say I'm a nutty cookie.
Yeah. Anyway. Thomas got wild hair, but nothing like yours.
So we could sit around and speculate what the aliens are going to do, or whether they're not going to do. They might just be sitting off there watching Earth like a reality TV show.
Wonder what they're going to do, and they've already done it.
Yeah. It's like one time, it's a funny story, one time, it's actually a true story too. One time it was raining outside. And my wife just got through doing her hair, and she didn't want to, get her hair wet. So as she was walking through the garage, she couldn't find the umbrella, and she seen this brass symbol that I had laying on the table.
Oh, my God. Come on, folks.
Yeah, so she puts this brass symbol over her head and goes after and uses it for an umbrella for the deal. And I said, woman, have you lost your mind with lightning out there? You're lucky you didn't get popped with that brass symbol over your head. And I said, it's a good thing you didn't know about that metal stand that I had. And she said, yeah, well, we probably would have used it. So she would have had an umbrella with brass symbol. And I said, I said, I can see this now. God's sitting up there in his throne, and he's got his right hand man looking down, and he sees her going out there with that brass symbol over her head in a lightning storm. And the right hand man says to God, said, why don't you just strike her with lightning and get it over with? He said, no, I got to see what she's going to do next.
Really? Get her with lightning quick. We don't want her to breathe.
Yeah, so that might be what the aliens got up their sleeve. Is they're just sitting back watching the show, man.
Yeah.
You know. Oh. It's hard to say. But there's got to be some excuse why it is that humanity does the stuff that we do. You know? I say we in a general sense, like we as human beings. I mean, I personally ain't going to run out there in the lightning storm with a brass symbol over my head, because I learned science and I know about electricity, and I don't think that's a very wise idea. But nonetheless, that's just a small example of... Like the guy... Thomas sent me a video a while back of a dude that took a Roman candle and shot himself in the face with a Roman candle.
Ouch.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there looking at that, and I said, my God. He's standing around a bunch of people who I guess, I'm assuming it must have been his friends, and for none of them to step forward and say, don't do that, or, you know, even tackling him to the ground to make sure he didn't do that. They were basically encouraging him and filming it.
Egging on.
Yeah, so when the guy shot himself in the face, you know that had to have been excruciating burn and hurt and pain, and he was like, oh, I didn't expect it to hurt so bad, you know? I'm like, think about if you're an alien, and the very first person you meet on the planet is a guy shooting himself in the face with a Roman candle.
Yeah, think about this. Why about YouTube and all these teenagers are doing stupid stuff like that? I mean, they're putting it on YouTube. Where people in using the internet, this goes out to all these satellites and it's scattered all over the world. Well, some of that signal is leaking out in outer space, and so these aliens are seeing the stuff and saying, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasted trip, man.
Yeah. We ain't going to find no intelligent life down there, so why even bother?
You're right, exactly.
Well, there's also a video.
For years, I've been wasting all this money trying to send signals out into outer space to contact other life forms. Okay, so how many thousands have we contacted that say, like, exactly like you said, whoa, we don't need to waste any fuel going there, man. I mean, come on.
You know what? I would even venture to say that it's in some portions of the galaxy, it would be illegal to view the Earth stream, to watch any Earth TV. It would be illegal because they wouldn't want you to get any bad ideas.
Right.
Like, for example, there's this dude that obviously did not pay attention in physics and science, and his swimming pool in his backyard was, like, totally frozen over. And so he figures he's going to go do a cannonball and crack the ice inside there. Well, what ended up happening, he's ended up splayed out flat on that ice and kind of bounced a little bit and was talking about how bad it hurt. I mean, what was he thinking?
Right.
Number one, if he did break through the ice, that would pose a problem in getting back out, and plus the potential hypothermia and cutting from when the ice crystals cut you on the way through or whatever. When I saw him getting ready to jump, I already started to cringe because I could see all the physics in play, and before it was all said and done, there was going to be one dumb individual laying there in pain, probably with a spinal injury or worse, paralyzed for life, being stupid. Huh?
I saw a clean video of the guy doing a belly flop in a swimming pool.
Well, this guy landed on his back.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All I could do is use rubbing my stroking my throat in a downward fashion.
Yeah.
To get my cojones back down where they belong.
Yeah.
Oh, cow, man.
This guy, like, it hurt just watching him, but you ever bruised your tailbone before?
Yeah.
Gosh, that's pain. And this guy, he must have been, I bet he was limping around for months and had to sit on a giant cushion or something, a tush cush or something.
There you go, man. Sometimes people do the dumbest thing.
Well, and there's plenty of examples if you want to look out there and see what craziness is going on. We got technologies available to us right now that we could solve all the problems of the world, but trying to get all these people together, it's just like, man, it's unbelievably hard to try to send a message across to the planet to everybody out there because everybody's so distracted with all the craziness they're doing. You know, there's some inventive individuals out there building model motors and stuff like this. I'm looking at a little deal where a guy made a little miniature crossbow, and it actually looks like a full-scale crossbow, but it's miniaturized. You know? So,
yeah.
There's a lot of good talent. There's a lot of brilliant individuals out there, but it kind of just seems like there's, I don't know, whether it's being dumbed down by the educational system or medication or even the water that you drink from chlorine and fluoride, or maybe somebody just ate too many paint chips or something when they were a kid. But it's starting to seem like the biggest tragedy we got in this world is the brains, you know? Common sense. Yep. Who does that kind of stuff, like jumping in a frozen swimming pool, landing on your booty?
Nah.
I guess he thought his physics was better than the laws of physics and figured maybe he could crack through the ice. But, hey, there you go. Did we lose Thomas? Thomas, you still there? Man, he must have took off.
Yeah, he must have got ticked off and thought we were going to change his name to Thomas B.
Yeah.
Thomas the Brain.
Could be the aliens come down and got him.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway.
If they talk about the brain, they won't come down here and get him and take him up there and analyze his brain.
Anyway, I just wanted to change things up today on the Knights Around Table. Talk about something fun for once, because the world's nuts, man. If you just sit back and look at all this kind of stuff that you see going on out there, it's just like, God, it just stress you out so bad. And there's...
People do stupid stuff like that. I mean, you have to laugh, because if you don't, you're going to cry.
Yeah.
You have to laugh at it or cry, because it's so damn stupid you can't believe people would actually do it.
Yep, sometimes you got to learn to laugh in the face of adversity or life will get you down.
I like that. I like what you just said. You have to laugh in the face of adversity. Either that or you're going to cry. And laughter is a lot more fun.
Yep. A lot more healthier too. It releases like endorphins or something.
Right.
And for all those people that don't know what that is, that's what makes you feel good in your brain.
Yep.
Thomas would be a good one to explain that one, but he done took leave of us. We don't know where he went.
Thomas is just about the smartest damn person when it comes to chemistry and physics and stuff. He's just about the smartest person I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
Man is absolutely brilliant.
But he goes AWOL a lot.
Yeah, he does. But hey, he has to take a break.
Yeah.
Otherwise, his brain would explode, you know?
Well, sometimes I think my brain's going to explode, man. Literally. Because... Uh-huh. If you sit around and you look at the lack of common sense, I mean, how far can people take stupidity, literally? I mean,
they keep stretching it every year.
Yeah, it's like...
It's like a big rubber band. You don't know when it's going to pop, but you keep testing it.
Do you remember the days of Elvis?
Yes. Oh, very
good. Yeah, Elvis came out there and he did the shake, rattle, and roll kind of thing, you know, and he got the old folks all riled up and thinking he was a pervert or something because of the way he was dancing and whatever. And everybody thought that was real bad back then. Then you come up to the modern day and see how that one deal went to extreme every year. Somebody's trying to top the one prior to that. You know, look at the history of rock and roll and you'll find out that right now, nowadays, it's got to such an extreme extent you can't even understand what it is they're yelling about, and it don't even sound like music anymore. It sounds like somebody screaming in a microphone and twanging on an untuned guitar.
You know, the thing is, the older women, by older I mean now, they were younger than I am now, but the middle-aged and older women that kept complaining about his dancing and his moves that he made as he was singing was so vulgar. But yet they are the ones that would actually put on a calendar a reminder note of what TV show he was going to be on so they could watch it.
Man.
It's so vulgar, but yet they would actually go out of their way to watch his anytime he was ever on TV.
Well,
it was crazy, man.
This very day, there's some hardcore Elvis fans out there, man. Got posters and memorabilia and plates and spoons and all kinds of anything with Elvis on it. They got it.
Yep, and I'm not one of those, but I am a devout Elvis fan. I don't have any memorabilia because I don't really need it. My mind is capable of, with my eyes wide open, seeing it in my brain. Everything he ever done, every movie he ever made. I mean, the man was a genius. He was, and a good man. On top of that, he was really a good person. He took other people's feelings into consideration. I mean, he was thankful for everything anybody ever did for him. He was a good man.
So, another reason why I think that some of the doggone aliens probably wouldn't come down here, I'm looking at a video that High Impact Flicks put out. He puts out some pretty informative and pretty good videos, but during that whole protest thing that was going on where they were protesting Trump, some of the people came up with some really ridiculous ideas. And I'm not going to explain or say the words of the names of what they actually made hats to be representative of, or they have these doggone other things over their face that looks like a female organ. And it says, "I feel violated." Well, I feel violated even looking at it, man. It's like ridiculousness. And it's the headline on the video said, "This is why you can't believe everything experts tell you." You know, if there's mentality out there, people doing stuff like that, going to try to protest, and you as an alien, and that's the first thing you'd seen when you came down here, man, it'd be like it wouldn't be a subtle sneaking back to the ship. It'd be a turn around and run and dive into the ship and hit the button to blast off as rapidly as possible, slam the doors and go. Hope for, like heck, decontaminate yourself that maybe none of that stupid rubbed off on you while you were standing there and having to witness that mess. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. 100%.
So, can you think of any reasons why aliens wouldn't want to come down here and visit us?
I can't think of one reason why they would. Not one.
Yeah, it works both ways. Probably ain't no reason why they'd even want to come down here and take a look at us. And we send our signals out and say, "Hi, come over and visit." And they're like looking in there like, "Are you crazy? I ain't going down there. Those folks are nutty." You know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I hope at some point in history that we kind of come together and start using common sense and technology to do some major advancements and stuff. But the way that it looks so far, I'm not seeing it going to happen anytime soon.
That's for sure.
This guy made a match rocket that will go 60 feet in the air. It's pretty cool, man.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I haven't thought about that in eons. I mean, I used to make match rockets when I was a kid.
Yeah, aluminum foil.
Match, shape it like a little rocket, and then heat it up with another match until it burned, and it would just shoot like crazy, man.
Yeah.
I thought about that in years.
Well, this guy, I think he did the same kind of deal, but it makes it, he actually made a little mini rocket that has tail fins on it and everything. So, he kind of went all out on the deal. It's on YouTube, Brain Foo TV is a YouTube channel. It's under the crafts section, recommended videos.
Right.
But, you know, we got a world that we live in that's strange, and it's just, I don't know, if you sit around long enough and you think about all the possibilities of where we should be right now or what we could be doing, and try to come to a logical explanation why it is that we're still where we're at, the whole alien penal colony seems to be the most plausible. They sent all their crazies to Earth to see if they could sort it out, man. What do you think?
Lord, you're right.
So, we're here, and until we wise up, we don't get back there.
Man.
I don't know.
I don't either. That's crazy.
What I do know is that we got to get our act together, because what's going on out there, you know, countries going into civil war with each other and people fighting and battling over resources and power struggles and financial misdealings. The financial system alone is just ridiculous. You know, the way that people, you have to have money to get anything done. We find that often in mad science. It takes a lot of money and resources in order to be able to bring ideas to the table. And an idea is just an idea until you actually build a prototype with it, you know?
Right.
And all the science is basically just theoretical until you actually put it into action. And that's, you know, what my one of my major frustrations is because I got all these wonderful ideas, and I know the mechanically they'll function and everything, and it's just trying to get the resources necessary to do it in a manner in which you don't, because of idiots before us, like Keshi out there going around ripping people off, telling them their voodoo version of plasma and his weird twist on science that some of these people, I'm surprised they even survived the process of trying to mix all this stuff that they call GANs together, because you probably end up having to call poison control before it's all over with, and wanting to nano-coat your wiring in your house and turn all your wiring black in your house doesn't seem to be like a wise idea when you're messing with electricity. But nonetheless, those kind of individuals out there, and the individuals out there putting scam videos out there, makes it harder for the real people to actually find and build the working alternative energy devices that are necessary to be clean, renewable energy out there. You guys had mentioned earlier, either you or Thomas mentioned earlier about there being these thermal vents out there all over the planet that basically they actually found like microbial life in or whatever. But those thermal vents right there have so much power potential. We could tap into that and we could solve a lot of issues around the planet. You know, you can do a lot with heat. You know, you can distill water with heat. Using the science that we've got available to us, we should be so much further advanced right now. There shouldn't be nobody on this planet doing without. But what we got is about 9 billion people running in all different directions and building little crews here and there, pockets of people that think the way that they do, and going out there protesting with these crazy looking hats over their face or whatever, and doing stuff like burning down their own communities and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, if I was an alien and I looked down on this chaotic cluster, you know what, I wouldn't come here.
Think about it. Most aliens, if they were that advanced, they would be able to not even come down here. Just sit there and just watch all the news broadcasts. And the news broadcasts always take the worst and broadcast that. So the entire universe is filled with all of our idiocy.
Yeah, and you also hit on another key right there. While the mainstream media is trying to find all these ratings and putting all the worst of the worst out there, in the alternative community, you got like this fear-mongering crowd that's always picking out the worst of the worst. And guys like us will sit back and look at the whole big picture and we'll say, well, yeah, that's pretty bad over on that side over there, but look over here, there's some people doing some good stuff over here, so it's not all bad. And so there is hope.
Huh? You don't see the good. The news media doesn't broadcast the good.
No, because it don't get the best ratings. They want to see sex, murder, and violence or something. which in my mind is probably a reason why society's deteriorated to the extent that it has.
Right.
So how do you dig through all that mess and come out the other side and implement solutions across the board that will resolve all the issues? The only way you're ever going to be able to do it is to get everybody thinking along the same lines of deals. It always brings me to the point, you know, every time there's a family tragedy, you go to a funeral or whatever, and you just got to remind everybody, ask them the question, why is it that it always takes a tragedy for us to come together? And so unless there's some major, massive calamity on Earth, I don't see the planet seeing eye to eye on nothing. While everything's all wonderful, hunky-dory, and everybody's running amok trying to be their own person and their own freedom and all that kind of stuff, they're not looking towards the future. For people like me, they're stepping back looking at the whole big picture and seeing that you guys might not want to do that because you're getting ready to head off that cliff. You better slow down a bit at least or something. turn a little bit to the right. You know, some common sense. But you can't, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that on the path that we're heading as humanity, we're heading for sure destruction. It'd be a self fulfilled prophecy of biblical proportions. You don't even have to believe in the good book in order to be able to look out there to see the direction society's going in. You know? All you gotta do is use some common sense and you can see, you know, like the golden rules, thou shalt not kill. You know, if you kill somebody, somebody's gonna wanna kill you. You see what I mean?
Yep.
So if you're an alien looking in on the human race and you're seeing everybody running around robbing and raping and looting and pillaging each other, and you got people over there on the other side of the planet being neglected and they're starving and dying, and on the other side you got people bombing each other and, you know, war and destruction and craziness. You know what I would do if I was an alien from another planet? I'd come down and I'd find all these really brilliant minds that are creating stuff like these solenoid motors and doing induction and science and all that. And I'd bring all these brilliant people to their own planet and make them a utopia, man.
There you go.
That would be the way to go. Because why should they sit down there and suffer along with the rest of the human race? Because they're trying to do something with their mind to benefit the world. Nonetheless, even if you're just making a remote controlled plane like this one guy does on there, he does model planes engineered, you know, and you could make it a toy so people can have fun and learn physics and that kind of stuff. I'd find all the people on the planet who are doing something good for the planet, and I'd move them over to another planet and let all the crazies do whatever they're going to do down here, and if they do themselves in, it's their own fault. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that sounds bad, but why would you want to let all the people that's trying suffer? That's the best of maybe the brilliance is set down here as hope in hopes that everyone else will look in and see that and start learning something.
Yep.
Imagine if we did these lives over and over and over and over again like Groundhog's Day, and you had to do it until you got it right. You had to finally wise up and make the right choices in your daily lives and the way you treat each other, and before you could ever move on. You know, some people believe that's the way it works. But, you know, if Pete and Repeat were in a boat and Pete fell out, who'd be left? And what Repeat. You say all the time about if you ignore history, you're bound to repeat it?
You're doomed to repeat it.
Yeah.
It's only human nature.
So we got to figure out ways in order to try to change our education system to put things on the table to encourage people to think outside the box and start inventing and creating.
You know, great minds do think alike, because just as you started saying that, that was exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Almost verbatim.
Well, in my good book,
educational system to teach kids the past, history, I mean real history, but put it in a way that they'll want to learn.
Yep, real science.
Teach dates and situations and experiences, but what happened, how could it be, not to stop it from happening, but to correct it after it does. For example, did you know that over 50% of the small catastrophes like hurricanes and tornadoes, floods, and stuff like that, over 50% of them that happened in the United States, by the time FEMA shows up, it's over more than 50% corrected because of volunteers from other towns, other states, go in and try to help these people. They get their report, the news people. When's the last time you saw a video on television in the news of a hurricane or a tornado destroying a town that they flew over in a helicopter, took pictures, and not one 2x4 or roofing shingle, not one on the streets? Think about that. Tornadoes are going to tear up an entire city or entire town, and yet the roads are perfectly clean. Why?
I don't know.
Because the people that weren't affected had machinery went in and helped those that were in trouble.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Uh-huh.
Yep. The news media can't get there as fast as other people that want to help. Come on, man.
Well, it's just... I don't know, man. It's just crazy to me. I don't understand. I understand why this world is the way that it is. You know, in my good book, in Genesis, it talks about God creating man in his own image, which makes us creators, and so we create our own pain and our own suffering and our own destiny and that kind of stuff. And so...
So it says something about free will.
Yeah.
We have a choice.
And a choice of what kind of world we decide to live in.
Exactly.
And somehow or another, we got to figure out that we are our brother's keepers. We're our, you know, caretakers of the land and the animals and all that kind of stuff. And so if we can learn to work in harmony with nature like some of the prior, you know, tribes and stuff like that, that, you know, basically lived close to nature and respected nature and stuff, if we can learn to live like that and still be able to enjoy the luxuries of, you know, like what we've got today, air conditioning and technology and stuff like that, we could balance that out in perfect harmony with nature. We could have the perfect world, man.
Yep.
Wouldn't be no disease, wouldn't be no doggone corruption or any of that craziness going on. Wouldn't be no wars over resources. There wouldn't be no starvation or homelessness and that kind of stuff. And we'd actually be able to use technology to, like they say on Star Trek, to boldly go where no man has gone before. You know, go out and colonize all the other rocks in space and do it in a respectful manner.
What you're talking about is highly plausible. But on the exact same opposite side of the page, it is very, very highly unlikely.
Yeah.
It's plausible. It is possible. But it's very, very unlikely because of man's attitude.
Well, that's the thing.
To live in harmony with nature, it goes against the grain of most human beings. But animals live in harmony with nature. Think about it. When man was living in caves, building lean-tos, and stacking up grass and dead leaves to try to keep warm on a cold night, and using rocks and sticks to kill animals to eat, they did the way animals did. They killed the weak, they killed the old, the infirm, because they didn't have the strength to kill the biggest buck with the biggest horns. That's what Mother Nature does. It kills off the weak so the strong can survive.
Well, I don't know, yeah. But if you look out there into nature, nature's a good teacher, and ironically enough, one good example would be like a shark. There are sharks out there, and when you look around at all these sharks, they always got these little fish following them around.
Right.
And they got this relationship with these little fish. These little fish clean off parasites off their skin and stuff, and so it kind of, they got a symbiotic mutual relationship. The little fish gets food, and the big fish gets groomed and all that kind of stuff. And
it goes all over the entire world. I mean, think about it. Go to Florida in the Everglades and watch wild, not in captivity, but wild alligators. They hold their mouth open, and these birds come in and rest all, you know, walk all over their tongue and everything, picking out raw meat from between their teeth.
Yeah.
Those alligators wouldn't dare eat one of those birds. The birds would get scared to go in there. I mean, but yet at the same time, you take an alligator. In fact, I saw one on YouTube where this guy, supposedly an alligator wrangler, he was an Oriental gentleman, that has no bearing on what I'm talking about. But anyway, he would reach in and slap the tongue of an alligator to prove how fast he was, you know, how fast his reflex. Because you touch the tongue of an alligator, and it automatically, instantly, his mouth shuts. I mean, fast. But he would slap this alligator's tongue, and the alligator would snap shut, and he'd open his mouth again, and he'd slap his tongue, and he'd snap shut. And all of a sudden, he wasn't as fast as he thought, and the alligator got his arm, let in his death roll, and ripped the man's arm right off his body.
Dang.
I mean, you know, come on.
That's what he gets for agitating nature.
Now, if he had gone in there with a wooden stick and started picking the meat out between the teeth of that alligator, most likely the alligator, after snapping two or three times, would realize what he was doing and would keep his mouth open and let him go ahead and do it. I mean, think about this a minute. Symbiotic relationship, yes.
Well, there's
living in harmony with nature.
Like I said, you can learn a lot from nature just by watching what animals do and what plants and, you know, bees. A lot of people fear of bees, and so, you know, you get the pesticide out and you want to kill them off, but you don't understand that there's a purpose for them bees out there in the environment, you know. There's certain types of wasps and stuff like that that I don't really have no, what's to talk about love for, because they like only seem like the only purpose they got is to sting the crud out of you. But like honeybees and stuff like that, they their job go out pollinate the planet, you know, and help the plants reproduce and stuff like that. And so, like, paying attention to nature with all the different examples that we've given out there, there ain't no reason why humanity couldn't get their act together and resolve all the issues. You got a ham radio going?
No, it's my microwave. Let me mute my mic.
Sound like you're trying to send a signal to those aliens we were talking about.
I'll tell you what, I got one really good microphone on my camera. It must be something else, because you guys over there, y'all hear stuff that I can't even hear, and I'm sitting in right here 3 feet, well, actually 2 feet from the mic.
Yeah, we're hearing the microwaves bzzz on it. But anyway, if we could just get our act together and get people to understand that they can work in perfect harmony with nature, there ain't no reason why we couldn't resolve all the issues of the planet. It's mind-blowing to me how it's taken so many years to try to get things resolved, you know, like hunger in the world. That's the biggest one to me. It drives me nuts. We shouldn't have any hungry people on this planet. We could resolve all these issues if we could just get the people to the table and, you know, work things out. Otherwise, it's just a continuous cycle of madness. You know, and you don't have to sit around and be a fear monger to explain to people, like, heading in the direction that we're going. Society can't sustain this. Nature can't sustain this. If we're tearing nature up at an alarming rate, you know, we're basically polluting our own fishbowl. And once our fishbowl is polluted and we kill off all the things that we rely on, the symbiotic relations between us and plants, and, you know, we need plants to survive and they need us to survive. Maybe the plants don't need us at all. I don't know. Maybe we're the fortunate ones. But however it works out, I think that if we're here and we're part of the ecology, so to speak, then that means that we're also part of the big overall picture, that without humans, there ain't nobody to groom the plants. There ain't nobody to keep the overbrush down and keep the land clean, pristine and stuff. But if there ain't nobody doing that anyway, what you end up seeing is unfortunate circumstances where you go down into your local streams and rivers and you find them clogged up with trash. And you wonder why that nature's fighting back. You know, you plug up the waterway with trash, and now you got another place, because the water's got to find the path of least resistance. It's going to find the floodplain, and it's going to wash somebody's house out. Chances are you probably shouldn't have built your house there to begin with for just such an emergency, but, you know, if you are going to build it there, you'd at least have the common sense to keep your waterways clear where you ain't got flood waters being diverted over into your neighborhood. It all seems like common sense in my view, but to look out into society, Raymond, if you're trying to talk, your microphone's still muted. If you look out into society and see what we see going on out there, I could understand why anybody could get disturbed. I look out there in the YouTube community through all the craziness and going on, and I'm looking for those brilliant minds that are making all kinds of cool projects and stuff, things that, you know, even if they ain't advancements, they're at least replicating and keeping a perpetual memory of something going on, like, you know, these types of steam engines that people build models of. It keeps that technology alive and don't get forgotten. And so even those replications serve a purpose to remind us that we got technologies available to us. You know, there ain't no reason for all the wars and ridiculousness. And if you waiting around for some advanced society to come down here and save the planet, you might be seriously disappointed. Because they may not want to come down here and socialize with us acting the way that we do as humanity. And as far as our representatives around the world that we elect to run our governments and enforce the laws and stuff of the land so that everybody can live in peace, you can see that that's getting out of control. You know, if you got a neighbor and you live in a homeowners association and the homeowners association's got certain rules or whatever, and you move in there and everybody has to have the same color house and their grass all has to be uniform and everything has to look like it's well maintained and all that kind of stuff, and for some reason your neighbor gets ill and his grass gets too high or something like that, and you turn him into your homeowners association because his grass isn't uniform, you're essentially taking away from your own freedom. Because if there ever come the time when you were in that predicament where you was too sick to get out and tend to the lawn, what you should have probably done instead of turning them over to what you classify as the authority in your homeowners association is go over there and try to help them. Find out what the problem is so they can fix it. You know, be respectful about it. And even if you don't live in the homeowners association and you just live in an average neighborhood, instead of calling the lawman on your neighbors unless they're doing something totally dangerous and ridiculous going to harm you or your family, you know, if it's something like their yard is a mess or whatever, and you go over and ask them, man, you know, what's going on? Is everything all right or something like that? And offer to help them out. Granted, there's probably some really lazy individuals that just don't care. Probably rude individuals, but you could weed those out real quick. You know, you'd know which one they were by at least having some kind of communication with them. Dang, boy, I'm going to have to get you some grease for that chair.
Yeah. I put a call out for volunteers to send me some WD-40, but nobody sent me any yet. Well, yeah, I've been having health issues lately. I mean, you know, I can't bend over very good because I had that aneurysm in my abdomen. And so if somebody volunteered and gave me a can of WD-40, I'd have to get somebody else to volunteer to bend over and squirt it up in there.
Man.
Because I can't.
Find somebody doing an oil change and tell them to dip your chair in it. Anyway, there's worse things going on in the world than your squeaky chair, Raymond.
There it really is that.
Yeah.
Really.
But on the same sense, there's good things going on out there as well.
Yes, there are.
You got to balance your news, folks.
You know, hey, I was just wondering, and I was thinking about it a couple minutes ago, we were on that issue about news. I wonder what would happen if you had somebody started a news program that only reported good things. I bet you anything, within a matter of months, they would get really, really high ratings, because so many people are getting sick and tired of listening to all the bad stuff, and there is so much more good stuff going on than there is bad. You could have a 24-hour program just reporting good things that people do for other people.
Well, and also I want to point out something else I just kind of thought about. I actually thought about it way prior to this. I've been thinking about it for a long time. Is that some people probably even go as far as watching the mainstream media and the alternative media out of fear to find out what's going to happen next, to see whether or not they're going to have to worry about jumping into their doomsday bunker or something like that. Because it's all got to such a state right now that if you look out there, if you're looking for negativity, man, you'll find negativity in such great abundance that You've turned yourself into a chronic, paranoid, schizophrenic freak of nature of epic proportions with, you know, everything's a conspiracy and everything's a doomsday kind of thoughts in your mind. Man, I'll tell you what, the day you decide to go down the rabbit hole of the Matrix to find out what makes this world tick, there's a day you better be prepared, because you're going to see things that you never wanted to see. You know, you're going to witness some terrible things. But at the same sense, you know, you can't close a blind eye to it, but you can't allow that to absorb your life to the extent where now you become either super paranoid or even worst case scenario, suicidal, because you think the world is all terrible and there ain't no, all hope is lost. You can see this in me a lot of times when I get so doggone extremely frustrated because I'm not discouraged. I'm going to try to do a project. I don't have the resources necessary to do the project right. I don't have the funds to go out and pay somebody else to build it for me. And so it has to be put on the back burner. Meanwhile, Rome is burning and I'm sitting here trying to say, you know, look, there's something we can use to put the fire out over there, you know, or somebody's hurting over here. We can try to fix that as well. You know, I'm sitting here trying to be the voice of common sense in a world of chaos. And when you don't see enough progress happening fast enough, it's not that we don't make progress here on the Knights of the Round Table. It's that it just sometimes gets overwhelming to the extent where we don't think that progress is happening fast enough. We're heading to the off the bridge or off the cliff faster than we are getting people to the table to turn that wheel and steer us away from it, if you understand what I'm trying to point out here.
I do. I understand it completely.
And so, you know, I'm only human. I'm just sitting there trying to talk to my other humans out here, and I'm trying to say, look, you know, we got a better way that we could do things, and if we could actually get together and agree on things, you know, agree to disagree on the less important, but agree to, you know, do the most important first. You know, if Fukushima is as bad as they said, then we should have a worldwide effort to try to resolve cleaning that up. If it's polluting our ocean over there, what is that, the Pacific Ocean?
That's on the East Coast, Atlantic on the East Coast.
Okay, well, whichever coast it's on, if that is actually killing off fish and destroying the ecology of the water, then that's something that we all should be seriously concerned about and focused on to try to get something done about it. And, you know, there's other things out there. There's all kinds of... If you want to be a superhero in today's world, you got plenty of people that need saving. You know, you got people starving and people that are homeless. You know, you can be a superhero just by driving down the road and seeing somebody in need and, you know, giving them some money to buy them some food or something like that.
Right.
You know, regardless of if you think that man's a lazy drunk or a druggie or whatever, the one thing he does have in common with you is he's still a human being. You know, you may not like his lifestyle or his choices or his decisions that he made to put him in that position, and you could even say that, well, he put himself there, let him get himself out. But in the meantime, the further he falls through the cracks of society, the worse that his life and his health becomes. And at some point, you find a dead man in an alley. You know? It's a shame. I told a story a long time ago about a man named Ken... No, that's not Ken. His name was Kendall. Kendall Core. And he lived down on a street called Independence Avenue. And this guy, he was younger, something really terrible happened to him that kind of gave him a mental disability. And the only thing that he did all day long, he'd wander up and down Independence Avenue and he'd stop by at the businesses and he'd clean their trash up out of their parking lots. And people started noticing that he was doing that work for him, cleaning the trash up out of there. And every so often, he'd find some change, and he'd come in and buy him a soda, you know. And so they got to realizing that the reason why he was cleaning up the trash is also, you know, not only to you know, make the place look better, but he was also finding loose change that people had dropped just so he can save up enough money to buy him some soda. So these businesses started to give him some soda pop, you know. Whenever they see him out there cleaning the trash, they come in, the manager would say, that's on the house, Kendall. And he was the most wonderful, loving soul that you could have ever met. I mean, the guy wouldn't harm a fly, you know, and he went around and he did this for years, up and down Independence Avenue, and cleaning the trash, putting it in a dumpster, and being nice to people, and having conversations with everybody. I mean, I don't think he had an enemy one out there. He was friends with everybody. Everybody knew him. He was respected and loved in the community. And, you know, the folks that understood his history and where he came from, and, you know, they took care of him. You know, they fed him, they gave him things, you know, soda to drink and stuff like that, and for his
efforts. The point is, he was earning it.
Yeah, but
he earned his help. He earned the respect of people.
Yeah, but the thing is,
Carter said, "I will work for food," and then you walk up and say, "Well, hey, how about cutting my grass, and I'll give you a couple of roast beef sandwiches and a yellow peanut butter sandwich and a glass of milk." Are you crazy? I've made too much money just standing here with a sign to do that.
Yeah, but hold on. Let me finish this story, because it had a tragic ending to it.
Oh, shoot. I don't want to hear it. Go ahead.
Well, it has to be told, because there's other segments of society, like what you were mentioning in your story there about the guy don't want to work because he makes more money just standing here playing off people's sympathies. But here was a man who had a mental disability from circumstances in his life that was doing nothing but good and had a big heart and tried to help people out. Well, one day he had $1.48 or $1.78 or somewhere. I can't remember the actual denomination. It was under a couple bucks worth of money in his pocket. Well, a couple thugs in the neighborhood literally killed him and robbed him. And it was a devastating blow to that community, because, you know, everybody started hearing that, you know, Kendall got murdered over some change that he had in his pocket. And, man, when you hear stories like that, if that don't rip your heart apart, because of the guy didn't try to hurt nobody. And how much price would somebody put on somebody's life for a little bit of money? That's about it. That's about it. That's ridiculous.
You know, my first thing that pops in my mind is how many people showed up to a funeral.
Well, from what I understand, it really wasn't a funeral per se, but they did have a big gathering up and down there of people that had like a candlelight vigil for him.
That's my point.
And it was amazing how many people actually showed up. But because they all knew him. I mean, he went all the way up and down that entire Independence Avenue strip all the time, just not hurting a soul, just trying to clean up stuff and earn his keep, so to speak. He wasn't out there trying to steal for food. Even when he was hungry, he wasn't trying to steal nothing.
Right.
You know? And you can learn a lot from a guy like that. You can learn a lot from the children. You can learn a lot from the mentally disabled. There's individuals out there that you see a smile on their face all day long. They don't know hatred. They don't know black or white or, you know, political. All they know is love. And that's,
right.
You know, that's something that if we could all universally believe in that portion of life, about loving your neighbor and kind of stuff, you know, the Knights of the Round Table, we point that stuff out all the time about how, you know, getting together, loving one another, that kind of stuff. We point out things in life that aren't so wonderful, and we have our little disagreements sometimes about the ways that we should resolve it, but nonetheless, that's the whole point of families. You come to the table, you sit down, you make a plan out, you work it out, and find the solutions. Everybody agrees on the best solution for any given time, and we go out there and try to resolve the world's issues. Even if it's just in our own homes and our own communities. So yeah, if I was an alien from outer space and I looked down here and I saw things that I've witnessed throughout my 51 or 2 years, however old I am now, can't even remember anymore. And if I see these things, have seen all these things throughout my entire life, if I was a more advanced being from outer space, there ain't no way in Sam Heck I'd come down here.
Uh-huh.
And if I did come down here, the only reason why I'd be coming down here is to clean house and straighten things up. I'd be like, you guys got to get your act together. You're killing each other. You're killing the planet. And so I'm going to come down here and I'm going to force you to do just that.
Well, I'm going to come down here with my ray gun and wipe you out.
No, I wouldn't wipe them out because that's like, you know, make you like the... I would come down here and basically delete all their nuclear power plants and delete all their nuclear bombs and disappear all their guns and all that kind of stuff and say, now if you guys are going to fight, you're going to do it old school. You're going to go out there and fist fight in the road and, you know, may the better man win and I hope you got a good dental plan, but you're not going to be going out there shooting each other.
Right.
But since that's highly unlikely that I'd be an advanced being that would be able to come down here and do that kind of stuff, and then we just got to kind of work our way through the mess and try to put common sense in ears of those, you know. There's soldiers out there that don't want to shoot nobody. You know, there's people right. out there that don't want to hurt nobody. There's police officers out there that want to really honestly do an honest job. There are... You know, senators and congressmen that believe that they can make a real change, honest change. It's a small minority of corrupt individuals in every neighborhood and every branch of government that are trying to further their crazy agenda to get money, power, and wealth. You know, if the wrong man comes to power with too doggone much money, you'd be surprised at how much damage the wrong man could do to the advancement of humanity. Because of his greed, he's not going to want nobody else to be able to step up there with him because they might overpower him with their money and their influence. You know, money's power. If you got trillions of dollars of money in your pocket or access thereof and you can keep control of that, you can control the people. You control their food, you control their water, you control what they believe or don't believe, their news and all that. Does any of that sound familiar, Raymond?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So, until the massive amount of we the people finally decide that we're, you know, enough's enough, and we decide, you know, we're not going to go down a road of civil war and try to overthrow the government violently, but what we are going to do is we're going to start building communities in our communities that's going to work to either repair the system or build a secondary system alongside that one until we get ours all the way up. We'll just kind of ride it out and get to the point where so far, you know, one, 10, 20 years down the line, we look back and we say, you know, you ever heard of that thing called government?
Yeah.
Remember back when we had governments? And the government's still kind of there, but nobody pays attention to them anymore. See what I mean? And their power gets weaker and weaker the more power that the people choose to take back. And you take it back on the simple scale. You don't have to go out there with guns and ammunition and violence and all that kind of stuff. You start spending your money or spending their money wisely. You know, spending it with people that's going to do the right thing. And when you realize that a corporation or a company is either polluting the planet or not beneficial or doing using child labor or things that are just wrong, then you just stop supporting them. Don't buy from their companies. Even if some of your favorite chips are on their shelves, go to a different company that's more family-oriented and trying to do the right thing. Even if you had to pay a few more dollars for something, wouldn't it? I think it would be worth it to pay a few more dollars than to go support the one that you know is actually doing bad. And if they ever get their act together, by the time they do get their act together, their prices are going to start coming down because they're losing customers hand over fist because the people of the world are saying, we're not going to buy from you until you get your act together. You stop abusing the earth, you stop abusing the community, and then we'll come back and buy some stuff from you if you can get it together. But meanwhile, we're going to go support these people over here because they're trying to do the right thing. Now, that's something that's possible. It's something that the people can do. It is a working solution. Thomas has mentioned
it
many times. It's
a working solution.
Huh?
It is a solution, a genuine solution. It will work. People just got to pull together to do it.
Yep. And if you got mainstream media that's always supporting smut and sex and violence and all that kind of stuff, look, When I was a kid, I used to watch the Andy Griffith Show.
Yep.
And one of the things about Andy Griffith never carried a gun. And Barney Fife carried a gun, but he had to keep the one bullet that he had in his pocket. But nonetheless, Andy Griffith went around and he was able to... there's a couple episodes where he actually had to take up arms, but it was extreme. But nonetheless, somehow or another, throughout these entire episodes, he was able to negotiate with the bad guy to turn himself in or, you know, do things in a smart, respectful manner. Now, and if you ever watched it, you'd see that, you know, there's a moral to that. That entire episode.
Got the whole series of Andy Griffith on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you should bring it up, because for the past 2 weeks, I've been watching the YouTube Andy Griffith thing.
Yeah.
At least 2 or 3 hours a day. Every day. I mean, it's amazing how he does things. And like you said, he never carries a gun. Like you said, a couple of episodes, he had a rifle or a shotgun or whatever, because they were tracking down some really, really bad hombres, you know?
Yeah.
But very few.
But the point is...
He always did with diplomacy and tact.
Yeah. The point is that things had to get real, real, real serious before he escalated it at that point. The rest of the time, he used his respect and his honor and his wisdom in order to get things done in his community.
Right.
You know, and even the local town drunk, Otis. You remember Otis?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, Otis used to go out and get drunk, and he'd go turn himself in and sleep it off in jail. And he'd let himself in and out, you know.
Oh,
But, you know, if you try to build your societies with that kind of mentality, I know there can't be no, like, perfect Leave It to Beaver lifestyle in modern day age. We got such a mess going on, it's going to take a while. And then you got people who really enjoy all the chaos. So, you know, until you start slowly turning this ship around, you got a mess to deal with. But you don't have to go out there and become part of it. You can actually, you know, be part of the solution. You know? Just by using a little bit of wisdom and some, you know, negotiation skills and basic science and knowledge that you've gathered throughout your life, there's no reason why we should have all the problems that we do. And if your representatives out there in the world are doing a terrible job, then you work towards respectfully telling people what's going on. See, the mainstream media's got the people so divided, and even the alternative media community as well have the people so divided. You know, sometimes the road to disaster was paved by good intentions. And what I mean by that is that it may have started off in the alternative community that, you know, we was actually pointing out all the doggone things that were going on in the government that needed to have people keep an eye on. But at some point, some of the alternative media went down the fearmonger road, where in order to keep their viewership, they would always put out, you know, big old flashy thumbnails that would make it look like apocalyptic scene. And they call them clickbait, you know, clickbait and fearmongering. And by the time it's all said and done, you got people out there who think the world is in such god-awful chaos that they're running around stocking up on everything under the sun. And, you know, how many times can you go out there as a pastor and shout that the end is near, the end is near, the end is near? I've been hearing the end is near for so many years it ain't even remotely funny. Everything's a doomsday. Everything's a sign of the end times, you know. Granted, you know, look in the book, you see that things are happening like it said in there. But, you know, my book also says that no man knows the time or date. It'd come like a thief in the night. And the same thing could apply to those who don't believe. You never know when you're going to die. It could be instantaneous. It could be long-lasting or whatever. But regardless, in that time that you got, you could either sit around and worry about everything under the doggone sun, or you can actually get out there and pick a battle and go out there and win that battle. Clean up your local streams and clean up your local government and help each other out. I know there's a lot of people out there doing that. There's a lot of people that sacrifice their time. They go to elderly homes and they'll they'll help them feed each other, and they'll help them clean up and do chores and that kind of stuff. And sometimes it's just a matter of going, sitting down with the elderly and talking with them, you know, and learning their story. There's a whole lot to be said about that. You could be surprised how much better of a quality of life that you could give to somebody just by sitting them down and giving them an ear. You know, listen to what they have to say. Don't be the talker, be the listener. We got so much potential, folks. It's just mind-blowing what we could do. Granted, it takes a little bit of effort. Like I said, we didn't get in this mess overnight. We're not going to get it resolved overnight. But if you look out there and you listen to what Paul Harvey said in 1965, and you look at modern day society, if everything from the time of, from Elvis to Ozzy to the modern day Disturbed, and then into and beyond, and some of the really hardcore rock and roll bands, things just kind of continue to escalate. And everyone tries to top the prior generation in that. And how far can you actually go before society is just so entirely messed up that you're hiding in your doomsday bunker or in your toxic gas mask because literally we polluted our planet to oblivion? You know? And how far will the mainstream media go? How far will the alternative media go? You know, here on Shaziz Radio, we try to use respectful language because we never know who might be listening. But there's a reason for that. You know, when you're out there with your buddies and you're dropping the F-bomb and the S-bomb and just foul-mouthing and talking smack or telling all kinds of racial jokes to one another, you know, that's your own business. That's what you choose to do. But if you get used to doing that, and it becomes the norm, and everyone around you sees that as the norm, you teach people how to treat you. Now, I don't want people come rolling up on me, cursing me out every day, so I don't curse nobody else out. I try to get my point across in a respectful manner. And I try to do things, I try to treat people the way that I want to be treated. But also, if I'm sitting out here talking about the decline, the moral decline of society, how society's just got to the point where everything goes, it's just a free-for-all. I can't be a hypocrite and say that I don't think that the mainstream media should be talking all this filthy smack and showing all this sex and hate and violence all the time if I can't even control myself in my own personal language, being respectful or not. So, in order to be a teacher of anything, you need to try to practice what you preach. You know, don't go out there and tell people they're going to burn in hell if they don't read this book, and then go home and smoke a joint and get drunk and curse out your neighbor because you don't like something they said or did. Don't be the Sunday school person that goes on there Saturday or Sunday in your best dress shoes and your nice suit and all that, and act to be really nice, and then the next day go out all the week long. You know, five or six days a week you're acting like a jerk, and then Sunday you're holier than thou. Don't be that person. If you want to be the light that's going to shine out there to the world, you need to be that light 24/7. And so when it comes down to something as simple as cursing, you know, okay, it's freedom of speech, and everybody has the right to express themselves as however they want, you know. And maybe who am I to say what's a bad language or what's not? But from the generation that I was raised up in a respectful manner, we opened doors for ladies. We said yes, ma'am. We said yes, sir. We didn't curse in public with each other. And, you know, we tried to be, you know, as close to decent as we could. But the longer society got by and the older I got, I started hearing it coming in to where, you know, it just creeped in. Creeped in a little at a time. The curse words got a little harsher. The craziness got a little bit stronger. And before it's all said and done, we were laughing at things that would have normally been determined to be disgusting or gross or whatever. Went from telling You know, funny little intellectual jokes to all the way up to stinky toilet jokes or whatever, and then continued to escalate that. Everybody had to try and find something that was harder and funnier and nastier than before.
Lead by example.
Yep. That's the best I can do. And so, you know, I don't try to censor anybody here on Chaziz Radio, but I ask that they use respectful language so that the other people that come in and listen, you know, they might want to stick around for a while. They might see that we respect them enough to try to not be filthy to them. You see what I mean? And there's a lot of networks out there where you can curse. They don't care. You go on there and you can foul mouth all you want. People will listen to you. They might even have more listeners than I got. But I'm not going to bend and sell my soul to the devil, so to speak, just so that I can get the numbers up.
Ah, right, the ratings.
Yeah, I'm going to be what I am, and those who feel like that they agree with me, they'll hang around. Those who feel like they don't like me, because, I had somebody on my YouTube say if I say peace and love one more time, that he was going to kill me.
A friend of mine years ago, and what he used to say comes down to what you're saying right now. And he said he would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven, and you would rather serve in heaven than rule in hell.
That's right. I would. I don't mind serving my community. I don't mind being a servant. And if you go back and you literally take a long look at my entire life, you'll see all the time from when I was a child all the way up to my present day that I served my country, I served my communities, and I did the job. Not just because it was cool or anything, it's because I had to, it's because I wanted to, because I had a love for my community, you know? I didn't want power. I didn't want notoriety. All I wanted is, you know, like when I started off, I got a badge that sits up there with all my other badges from all the different things in law enforcement, and it's a little AAA badge. And in sixth grade, I was school safety patrol, and I stood out there and I made sure the little kids would cross the crosswalk without getting run over by cars. You know, that was pretty cool. And when those little kids would look up at me, they looked up at me as a sixth grader, and I'm in this position to where they considered me authority. I didn't look at it as authoritarian. I looked at it as a servant to that child to make sure that they could make it across the street without getting run over.
Right.
And so the younger ones aspired to be like me when they grew up. When they were a sixth grader, I'm going to do that when I get in sixth grade. You see what I mean?
Right.
And the reason why I turned out to want to be a police officer is because I saw some decent police officers in my life. And I saw that my grandfather, which I also have his badge up in my display case because he was search and rescue. He also did the safety crossing. And, I wanted to be like Grandpa. So I had some good examples in my life that made me where I'm at today. I had some ups and downs and some hardships that actually gave me the morals that I stand here and talk about.
Lead by example. You had good leaders.
Yep. So what I'm saying here today, and the reason why I try to bring this out with the aliens coming from outer space to try to add a little bit of humor to what would have normally been a, you know, a depressing subject. If I were alien, I wouldn't want to come down here and visit humans.
Heck no.
In the state of affairs going on in this world, if you can't even feed a child in your world, if there's so much as one starving child in this world, or one person that can't get no food and are riddled with parasites, that's a shame, man. You know.
Think about this now. If we had the ability to get a spaceship and fly to another world that was better than this one, wouldn't we do it? I mean, how many people that can have an automobile and can drive and have a skill that they can go anywhere they want and get a job, how many of those that live in bad neighborhoods would leave? Every one of them.
Yep. See, if I was... If I was have the access to the controls of the mothership, so to speak, I would spend my time going around and gathering up the most brilliant minds that had the same kind of, like the Knight's Code of Honor, let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, and wisdom, and courage, and the love for one another be our guides. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right. I'd grab those brilliant minds and the people out there and offer them a trip to wherever. We go out there, we start ourselves a new world by ourselves and let all the crazies stay behind and do what it is that they do.
Exactly.
But anybody that wanted to go, and even if we had to make several trips to come back and get some more people, I would do it. Because it just ain't no cure for stupid, man. If you sit around and allow the stupid people to do what stupid people do, then we got the world being what it is. This picture that I posted, I'm going to post it over here again because this thing, it just speaks so much volume. I'm gonna.
You know, we've said it several times on this show right here. Ignorance can be fixed. All you have to do is educate people. But stupid cannot be fixed. Stupid is stupid. It's forever.
Yep. I'm gonna post this picture again, and I'll probably do it again in the future because this picture speaks so much volume. One person can affect another person's life to such extent. This little picture, it breaks my heart when I see it, but it also warms my heart. Because the little picture of the little baby down there in such poor health, and the lady sitting there giving him some fresh water, and then you see that because of her persistence and the love for this child, love for humanity, literally took this child from looking like this on the left over to this child on the right, and this child on the right is beautiful. You know, and I'm not saying the child on the left isn't beautiful. It's beautiful, but it's sad because the child, you're allowing that to happen to that child. But the soul inside that child is beautiful. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah. But
I hope my words aren't sounding wrong, but when you look at this picture and you look at the way that this child looks on the right-hand side, he's got a little backpack on, his little red jumper suit, and she's giving him some water, and she stuck it out with that boy. Where everybody else walked by and just let this happen. You know? It's a shame. It's a sad shame. You know, I want to do something wonderful in this world. I want to do something to this extreme. If you could picture that little child on the left being our planet and our people, I want to take our planet and our people from what it looks like there to what you see over on the other side, because that's pure love. You don't get no better than that. You know, I get a little goofy sometimes. I get a little emotional sometimes, but man, I can't stand the lack of common sense. There ain't no reason to be fighting over the wars that we have these days. There ain't no reason to be bombing people or allowing people to do without, you know, outside of the greed. And if there's a small minority of people out there doing what there is that we see going on, you ask any American citizen out there. They're war weary. They don't want no war. They don't want no more unconstitutional wars. We're not even supposed to go to war unless we're attacked first. You know?
Yep.
And our leaders are doing things that are so sad. And what's sadder about it is the complicity of what happens. I see in a video, if you ever want to see me sound counterproductive to what I've been preaching today, you go out there and you look up a video that's called Shaziz's Pest. And you will hear me get to the point of violence inside that video. Because what happened was I stumbled onto a video where there was a bunch of people standing around while one person stomping on a baby's arm and making his baby cry, sitting there smacking his baby around. I say baby, this child might have been 5 or 6 years old, but to me it's a baby. And everyone else was just standing around laughing about it like it wasn't no big deal because of the race of this baby or whatever standing in the community of this baby. They abuse this child. And I was so doggone mad. Had I'd have been there, you would have seen the most ruthless man in the history of time, because I would have mopped everybody and his brother involved in that deal. Because my heart tells me that what was going on right there, nobody spoke up for that child. And it tore me up. I was so mad. I did a video. Go watch it. Go watch Shaziz is Pissed, and you'll hear what I said inside there. You ever hear me cuss? That'll be why. You ever hear me get violent? That'll be why. And so, you know, I do what I do and I say what I say because I think it's right. Knights of the Round Table is hoping to bring all those people like you and Thomas and everybody to the table and talk some common sense like they used to do at the round tables. The tribe gets together, everybody gets around the chief, and they all respectfully talk about things that need to be done and work out a plan together. I think that this world needs as many round tables as possible. I know it's a big thing to ask.
Yeah.
And it looks like an overwhelming task, but, you know, like I said in the prior show, if we shut up now, we just become complicit, man. Maybe we can't solve the problems. But if we at least try to pave the road on a smoother path for the next people coming down, maybe they can solve the problems. Maybe we can put the things in place for that the future generations will actually have a planet to live on. Am I wrong?
No, we're nowhere near it.
Well, I'm hoping. No. And I'm praying. Sunshine in the chat room says, how come no one is asking about the UN Global Human Depopulation Agenda? Well, Sunshine, I would have to say, because those individuals out there that talk about depopulation, number one, they don't understand what we've got before us. This planet isn't overpopulated.
Nowhere near.
Nowhere near. It's not. If anything, it's underpopulated because of all the wars and sickness going on. We're probably going to be our own endangered species before it's all said and done. But those folks out there talking about a depopulation agenda, they're not offering up their family. They're not offering up themselves.
They exactly.
They want you to not have children. They want you to depopulate. They don't mind if you go to war and you happen to die. It's not that big of a deal because they feel themselves to be the enlightened. They feel like, well, if we get rid of all the stupid people, we can fix the world. Well, maybe you got to teach the stupid people how not to hurt themselves.
Well, not stupid, was the ignorant.
Ignorant.
Yes.
The stupid people, they'll weed themselves out because they shoot themselves in the face with Roman candles.
Right.
Who does that?
Stupid people. Like you said, they will take care of themselves. I mean, you know, they just weed themselves out.
Yep. Anyway, I'm just trying to...
Take the people, you educate them, and the next thing you know, we got a better world. Take the stupid people, leave them alone, and they will actually annihilate themselves.
Yep. I'm just trying to find a way that we could all agree and work together. We find projects that we can work on between just Raymond and Thomas and myself. You know, we don't always get them done as fast as we'd like to because of resources or circumstance, but nonetheless, we haven't given up. I'm still in search for free energy, and I know it's there. I'm 100,050% I believe it with everything I got. Because I understand the science, I understand the physics, I understand it all. I can see it right there before my eyes. If I get, you know, like I said, 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know we can solve every problem on this planet if we can bring the right people to the table. There's so much, so many resources, Sunshine said in here, I agree, there is enough for everyone. Yeah, this world is such an amazing gift. We got such an overabundance of resources. This world is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It's a thermoelectric generator, hydroelectrics, you name it. We got everything that we can literally tap into nature without even harming nature, working in perfect harmony with nature. They kept saying they wanted clean, renewable energy. They wanted to, you know, even Tesla wanted to give the world free energy so that there wouldn't be no reason to go out and fight over oil or resources.
Think about this a minute. I mean, you know, the, we call it the joblessness of the people without jobs. The percentage is so high right now, it's unbelievable. And everybody keeps wondering about all this energy crisis. Duh! Start a company building wind turbines.
Yeah.
Start another company making solar panels. I mean, all of a sudden you've got all these people without jobs working, making money, contributing to the economy, and yet at the same time improving our fuel efficiency.
Yep.
Oh, come on, man.
Stop listening to people tell you it's not possible and get out there and find out what is possible.
I mean, you know, the government comes in and bails out the automobile industry. Why? Let them go out of business. Somebody with some brains will buy up the business and start making electric cars.
Yeah, you know, there's a probably in every single community, there's a vacant lot. Find out who owns that vacant lot. Lobby your local community town councils to utilize that vacant lot. Build you a community garden so that if anybody out there happens to be in need of something, you know, you can get together and you can teach each other how to can foods and how to grow properly and work together as a community. You got a community garden in the center of town, then there won't be no reason why anybody could have to worry about being hungry because they would know that everybody's welcome in this garden.
Exactly.
You can plant flowers and fruits and vegetables, and you can make it look like a beautiful place. And you could, with that one little patch of ground, people would come from miles around to see what you've accomplished. There's exactly. A solution, folks. And for these people in the other countries that are in need, we could get there. We could teach them the same thing. When they understand the potentials of what they have before them. And, you know, like, not everybody knows how to irrigate properly because they've never been taught. And not everybody has the resources to move out of a terrible situation into a better situation. But we could go in there and we could help them to make their community better. And when it comes to jobs, even if you ain't got a doggone job, if you're willing to go in there and help garden, you get to reap the benefits of the reward and the fruits of your labor, not only from, you know, being able to help your own brothers and sisters out, but to be able to help yourself out in the process. You know, there's a lot of arts out there, such as, because when like, let's say in the clothing industry, people used to make things handmade, and some people still do make things handmade. Really quality work. It took time. They actually sewed it themselves and, you know, cut the materials and all that. Some of that at some point in the game going to be a lost art because, you know, when the people decide to the points like that deal you were talking about earlier that Thomas mentioned about how society got so advanced that the machines did all the work for them and nobody had to do anything. You just go up and ask the computer and it'll give you what you want. That kind of deal.
You know, years ago, they used to have feed bags, and they would put them out with print. You know, some of them would have bluebirds on them, some of them roses, flowers of different kinds, and all kinds of stuff. And that's what people would buy feed for their animals, and then they would save the bags, wash them, take them apart, and actually make shirts, pants, dresses, blouses, stuff like that out of them. I mean, you know, in fact, it was my stepmother that worked for Bemis Bag Factory in Norfolk, Virginia. And that's what she did. She sewed feed bags together all day long, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And sometimes bags wouldn't be right or whatever, or the print would be not perfect on the sack, so they would throw them over there in the coal bin. And the employees could take as many as they wanted home. I wore feed bag shirts and pants all throughout my younger years. I mean, from the time I was like four or five years old all the way up to I was in my teens. You know?
Yeah.
So, look, think about that, folks. I mean, dang gone, man. Nowadays, you go in and buy a bag of feed for your horses or your cattle or whatever. And it's just a bag. So what do? You wad it up and throw it away.
I'm going to tell everybody why I like the ShazizRadio.com Super Chat, because right now we got a user in there named Sunshine. Actually put a lot of comments in there, and I addressed one of them, but it says, yes, we have solutions. We don't need to fight anything. Just start using the alternatives to these broken systems. The broken systems will fail if we just stop using them. Big Pharma will fail if we inform people they have an alternative that isn't poison and actually heals them. People in other countries can teach us a lot about how to live in harmony with the land better than we can. They would be thinking or thriving is we hadn't stolen all their resources. Look, that's the kind of brilliance that comes to the table. That's the kind of people that we keep putting the call out. We want to put the call out to people that write stuff like that in the chat room. We want to put the call out to people who believe that there are solutions out there and are willing to try to enact those solutions to make the doggone world a better place, man. I don't want to sit around for the next whatever time I got left in my life complaining about how terrible the world is. I want to see some sort of results. I'd like to put down a paving stone, you know, what I can by myself, what I can with you guys together, what I can with anybody else. I want to put some sort of smooth paving stone down for the future of all humanity to be able to step on. At least that first step that they take into life will be better than what we had to contend with. You see what I mean?
Yep.
I don't think it's too much to ask. You know, we got situations going on out there that could be resolved. We got people tampering with things that they shouldn't be tampering with. There's so much we could do. We got so much potential, so much resources out there, and the way that people's, you know, companies make money by gathering up resources and fighting with one another over the power over those resources and the patents on it. You know, Monsanto gets a doggone patent on a genetically altered fruit or vegetable, and you know, somehow or another that gets contaminated over on your property. They actually think they got the nerve to try to want to sue you because you've got their gene on your property. You didn't want it there. And you got governments out there talking about fining farmers for digging a pond to water their cattle, you know, or collecting rainwater. You got governments out there talking about throwing people in jail for feeding the homeless and stuff. You know, when the government fails you, best thing to do is just turn around and walk away from them. You know, build your own system out there, your own communities, your own networks, and do the right thing with those around you and your families and your local communities. If you don't like the way the environment is around you, then do something about it. Get out there and help people fix it, because you're not going to be able to, you know, get the government to do it. They're not going to listen to you. Some reason or another, because you elected them, they think they know better than you. You learn a little bit of wisdom from nature. Nature will tell you how to fix things. You know, we could resolve all these issues out there. We can't do it by ourselves. One man can't conquer the world. But you can, in that little circle that you walk around in your daytime, you can do whatever you can to make that one little circle the best it is for you, the best it is for everybody that's in your circle. And when other people look out and they see what kind of success that you've raised, they're more apt to follow. Am I wrong, Raymond?
Oh, heck no. No way.
Well, I see my little neighborhood out here, and I do what I can, and my neighbors do what they can, and we always try to look out for one another, and I believe that that's what our purpose was to begin with, was to literally be our brother's keepers, our servants to each other, you know. I'm honored to serve people. It don't make me a lesser person. I think more of the waitress and the waiter than I do of the chef. You know?
Right.
It's not that his talents aren't unnoticed. I mean, I think a lot of the chef too. But the lower you get on the totem pole, the base of the pyramid, so to speak, the people that are at the bottom holding the top up, without them, you don't have nothing. You know, because I was in the military, people always try to tell me, thank me for my service. You know, it's a new thing, been going around for the last 2 or 3 years or something like that. Thank you for service, when they find out you're in the military. And I look right back over and I'm not saying, well, thank you for your service. But I wasn't in the military. No, but you were a waiter, you were a cook, you were a bricklayer, you were a gas station attendant, you were somebody that was holding up society and holding down the fort for by the time I come back, I still had a community to live in. You see what I mean?
Yep.
That's the way I look at it. Everyone's important and every job's important.
I'll tell you what, one of the lowest class jobs in any large city that people think was a low class job is actually one of the most revered in my mind, and that is the garbage collector, the sanitation engineer.
Yeah.
Think about it. Proven fact. When all the sanitation engineers in New York City years back went on strike. I mean, holy cow, man. Does anybody know the history of that?
Yeah.
And the chaos that came about? I mean, your sanitation engineer is one of the most important people in your city, yet people thumb their noses up at him. I mean, come on. These people are great. They're fantastic. They do a service that you won't do for yourself.
Yeah.
It's a service. And it's a very, as far as I'm concerned, a very high respected service.
Yeah, without that job, the trash piles up, man. Some people...
Or you have to take it to the dump yourself.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, think about it. If you did not have any trash pickup service, think of all the people and how crowded the dump would be every day of all these individuals in their pickup truck or the trunk of the car with bags of trash.
Well, another...
Yet, these guys, for a very, very small wage, go around and pick up trash from hundreds and hundreds of homes every day. Every day. Think about that a minute.
Yep. Another...
Come on.
Another point of brilliance in that whole deal. Another point of brilliance along that same long lines is some of them trash guys that decided there was something that could be done that would benefit everybody and themselves at the same time. They started recycling. They started teaching people how to recycle. They started the whole recycling movement. I told this story a while back that there is literally a landfill not too far from me that when you went by it, you would swear up and down it wasn't a landfill. You'd swear up and down it was some sort of fancy city park.
Right.
Because they've got landscaping around there that's beautiful. They figured out how to turn the trash into fuel. They figured out how to recycle all the different materials. They basically use that trash as one. You want to talk about entrepreneur, you get paid to take the trash away. You get paid by sorting the trash out and recycling it to different industries out there that can reuse that materials. And you probably get government subsidies for doing this deal in the environmentally thing and helping out your community. So it's a win-win situation for the man picking up the trash and the company involved. They're able to pay the man a good wage and give him health care and all that kind of stuff because the company's thriving, because they use a little bit of wisdom to turn around what normally would have been a stinky pile that you had to bury with a bulldozer and hope that nobody ever smells it and you don't run out of space. They've been using the same landfill. I'm 51 years old and I can remember that landfill being there when I was a kid. Now, how much trash can you put in that many years? You see what I mean?
Yep.
They helped their own community out. They helped themselves out. And they provided a service for everybody. And, you know, they thrived. And you even look at their dump trucks. Their dump trucks aren't trashy. They're nice looking. They're well maintained.
Yes, yes. In Louisville, in Texas, we have DFW landfill. I mean, you know, sometimes you see a truck with a little mud on it or whatever, but very, very seldom. They keep them clean, they keep them neat, they keep them painted. But the only thing they don't do is wash and wax them. They wash them, they just don't wax them. You know what I mean? I mean, these things are nice. They,
yep.
They make enough money to keep everything orderly. And if one of their truck drivers gets wild and crazy and does stuff, they fire them. They police their drivers, they police the road that goes to the dump, to the landfill. They have people out there every day picking up trash that does blow off the trucks from private individuals and stuff like that. They keep the place neat. All the grounds around the landfill, the flat grounds are all mowed and manicured, pedicured, whatever. Yep. And that one landfill is making methane gas. They have been, I've been in Louisville now for 37 years, and they started using the method of making methane about 5 or 6 years after I got here. So they've been making methane gas for the past 30 years. They've used the methane gas to boil water, make steam, and make electricity and pump it into the grid. So they're making money off of that. I mean, use your head.
Well, you know, if your average...
Not against it.
If your average Joe seriously wanted to take the time, you could actually recycle things that you bought that in containers and actually recycle that stuff and make a few bucks off it, because there's actually people that will buy certain materials.
Yes.
You know, and so you could build you a storage deal, and while you're going sorting your trash out, you put the nasty stuff in the compost heap, and you put the glass in one container, and the aluminum in another, and the tin in another, and then when it gets, you know, your containers are all filled up, you take them to their prospective recycler, you know, and there's places out there that literally pay you for aluminum, they'll pay you for tin, they'll pay you for glass, you know. You keep in mind, some of these ain't going to get paid very much for. Some of them may seem like financially it's a waste of time, but nonetheless, you're still recycling stuff, you know. They used to have a kind of like a mandatory recycling in some communities, and I guess it just kind of fell by the wayside because nobody ever did it. They threw all the trash in the same pile, and trash man took it off. But those companies that we just mentioned, they realized that, you know, hey, you ain't going to be able to get the average Joe to take the time to sort this thing out because it's not as profitable as it, you know, is, but now we got tons and tons of this stuff coming to us. We might as well just separate it right here. Build machinery.
You know, the recycled aluminum less than 15% of what it actually costs to make it from raw material.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? Think about that. It costs you 6 times more to take bauxite and turn it into aluminum than it does to take aluminum and recycle it per pound. Well, there's a lot of materials out there that are exactly the same way.
Stephen Gibbons posted a message in a chat room. He said, everyone can grow their own, but I see this as a waste of everyone's valuable time, and we end up concentrating on our own needs instead of that of the whole community. It's more efficient. Build facilities that could feed an interaction to feed a community. This could be done now without any human interaction, from planning to picking to delivery, all done automatically. You would simply go online, make an order, and it would be picked up and delivered to your home within minutes. Well, how can you disagree with that? Because we really do have the technology to make it all where essentially robots would be out gardening for you. And if you get hungry and just get on the computer and type in, I need a sandwich, and a drone flies it over and sets it down on your plate. But until we get to that point, it's up to us doing manual labor. Unfortunately, you can get out there and do your community gardening, or like my friend Dublin used to say, guerrilla gardening and guerrilla charity, where you just kind of like got your Batman suit on and you run by, hand somebody a sandwich and run off, and they're like, who was that masked man, you know? You go out there and plant seeds all over the place so that if somebody homeless is walking down the side of the road and they see a tomato plant over there in this vacant lot, and they go over and they can get some food and that kind of stuff. The government can't stop you from doing that. You got a fistful of pocket full of seeds and throw them out by the fistful as you're walking on or jogging down through your community. Nobody even knows where it came from. They just know that now there's tomatoes and fruits and vegetables growing everywhere, and it just seems like they keep popping up for no reason at all. You see what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of people nowadays brag and make videos on YouTube and so forth about how they got off the grid and this, that, and other. And that's very commendable. It really is. But think about this. Not everybody can get off the grid. I mean, what if you live in an apartment complex? Did you know that for every person that lives in an area and has enough land to actually put up enough solar panels and wind turbines to not only get off the grid, produce more electricity than they use? For every one of those, there are 6 to 8 people that live in the apartment complex or whatever or wherever where they cannot do that.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about the dumb laws in the little towns like Lewisville, Texas, that have ordinances against using wind turbines. Stupid laws like that. You know, I'm talking about, what about these people that live in these apartment complexes or in these cities like Lewisville? Why can't they go out and find a friend or a friend of a friend that does and would love to get off the grid, but so they help contribute money, time, labor, whatever, to put these windmills up, put these solar panels up, buy the solar panels, and take a percentage, you know, of whatever the excess electricity. Therefore, they're making money. They're actually helping themselves by making money off of the electricity they made so they can pay their own electric bill.
Well, scrolling back up in the chat room, Sunshine On said a question, something similar to what you just talked about. It says, when was the last time you helped your neighbor? You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said. You know, and even in communities where somebody lives in an apartment complex, we got the technology right now to literally build things that would supplement their electrical uses so that they'd have more money at the end of the month in their pockets because they didn't have to pay such a high electric bill.
Right.
You know, and we can do it in a safe manner where they're not going to have to worry about a fire or poison hazards or anything like that. The technology exists, folks. It's been around. But like I said, it's going to have to be us wanting to help each other to try to make this thing happen. Some of these devices that I talk about, I get so frustrated because I'm waiting on some little part to be made. I got to rely on somebody else's skills, and in order to get those skills, I got to find the funds to go out there and pay somebody for their time, because I'm obviously not going to ask them to do it for free, you know. But nonetheless, it slows you down when you're trying to get things accomplished. You know, and if we decided to share our resources and work together and build small communities, you know, just at the very least, to see if it would work.
Right.
You know, I'd like to put together a get-together out here on my property. I got 12 acres of land. I'd like to put together an alternative living community kind of deal and see how that actually works. You know, where we get together, we take all our knowledge in alternative energy and alternative medicines, and we see what this land is capable of doing. You know? I don't think it'd be that hard. It may turn out to be a complete and utter disaster. As long as we ain't in it for the wrong intentions, and as long as we're in to find the solutions that we could share with people real time and everybody could benefit, heck, we could live stream the whole doggone deal. We could have a live stream going on and show the world, look, we took this one piece of property and we made it this beautiful, and we are able to not only feed ourselves off of this piece of property, but we're able to have excess that we can go around and share with the neighbors.
Right.
You know, if you go out into the farming communities out here, you'll find out that these farmers, they always grow more than they need. And they do that for a reason, because all the way through the year, they're already struggling with fuel prices and stuff, and they know that their neighbors are working hard, but they're struggling as well. The farming ain't as lucrative as you'd think it is. It's an expensive ordeal, and between government regulations and taxes and stuff like that, you'd be surprised, just in fuel cost alone, how hard it is to earn a living being a farmer. But yet, because they've done it for generations, that's all they know and that's what they want to do. But nonetheless, in those communities, you will find farmers that will grow extra stuff, and they will trade with their neighbors, and they will go out and find those folks out there in the community that are struggling, you know, to feed their families, and they'll help them, you know, give them what they got and try to take care of one another. You couldn't ask for a better community than the farming community. And that's why I say, in this world that we live in here in the United States, the ones that should be protected above and beyond all would be, in my mind, the farmers, the veterans, and the people that are actually out there doing the work that everybody else gets to benefit from. You protect the man that's protecting you. You protect the families that are taking care of you. It seems like common sense that that's what everybody would want to do.
Yep.
You know, it's okay for you to thank me for my service, but I also got to remember that I'm no better than you, and I have to thank you for your service as well, because your job is just important. Without your job, the whole structure of society would fall in on itself. There ain't nobody to take out the trash and be wise enough to recycle that trash and make themselves an extra money and be able to pay their employees and make that business thrive, then what's the point? You know? So that's the best I can do with what I got. That's my bit of knowledge. That's my little positive pebble in the pond. To some, it may just be words. But think about this for a second. Over there on the Knights of the Round Table, the podcast page, not only are there some pictures of different things that represent what it is we were talking about at the time, or good phrases, there's 216 podcasts. Now there's 217 with today's show. This one will be added up there. And on those podcasts, we've been going on for all these years, and we've been talking about solutions and offering people ideas and offering them a voice at the microphone. And we're still going to keep on doing as long as we can.
You know, there's a thing.
There's a photo.
Tomatoes, okay? Now, if you take a tomato, a green tomato, that nothing will get any bigger, all it's going to do is ripen, but still really green. You pick that tomato and roll it up in newspaper and put it in a refrigerator, it'll stay green for months. Take it out, unroll it, put it in the windowsill where the sun can get on it, in 2 or 3 days it's white. Now here's the thing. You take your refrigerator in your house that you use every day, and in a year's time it will use a lot of electricity. But if you put your green tomatoes in it and you fill it full, and you only open it once a week and take out enough tomatoes for that week, you would be absolutely amazed at how little electricity that sucker will use in a year's time. As long as you keep the door shut on the refrigerator, it uses almost no electricity because it's well insulated. I mean, think about that a minute. Fresh tomatoes every day out of your garden.
There's a picture on the Mad or the Knights podcast page where it says it's got a picture of Albert Einstein, and he said, "We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. Be the solution. Knowledge is your power. Best tool in a world gone mad." What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Well, that's it. You guys are the solutions. Seeking creative solutions to problems in our world is as simple as listening to one another and sharing great ideas. So if you think words aren't powerful, then you missed the point in there of the power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of your actions, leading by example, and all the other things that you could throw in there to deal. And also on that same page, there's a picture of a sun rising in the background. You can see some deer out there grazing, some wildlife or whatever. And it says, "Every new day comes with new hope and a chance for a better world. The choice is up to you. You can make a difference. Join the Knights in our quest to make it so." You know, that's what we do here, folks. And once again, that one little picture on there that just kind of melts my heart every time I see it is that little, even the smallest knight can make a difference. It's a little knight. It's a little squirrel. He's alone in his little shiny suit of armor, got a little sword on his side and his shield, and, you know, even the smallest knight can make a difference. So if you think you got a minute and you really like what you hear on the Knights of the Round Table, take the time to cut and paste the link and copy it over to the podcast page or the chat room and share it on your social media networks, because if you want us to be able to continue, we're not asking for anything out of the ordinary, just about a second or two of your time to tell other people what we're doing and what we're saying over here and bringing them to the table. That's it. Not asking for donations. All we're asking for just your time. Cut and paste that link and share it with somebody. And that's how you're going to help us to help the world, is by spreading the news that there's some people sitting around the round table. They got a lot of good ideas, and if you take these ideas and run with them, you'd be surprised at what you could do with just your community and your power, your spoken word, and being that little knight that actually makes a difference in this world. You know, if you want to join in and become one of the Knights of the Round Table, it's not an exclusive club. It's as easy as a Skype call. You add me or Raymond or Thomas to your Skype contacts, and you call in the show, and we talk about things and work things out. You want to be an honorary knight, and we've actually got knights in there like Stephen Gibbons, and now I think Sunshine in the chat room. An honorary knight just goes in there and helps and talks and says stuff and all that kind of deal. But that's how we get it started. That's how we get the ball rolling. That's how we spread the message and good words that we got everything we need out here. All we gotta do is get together and make it happen. That's the way it goes. So it's that time, Thomas and Raymond. I think Thomas then went to sleep on us.
Yeah, he might have stayed up all night. He's more of a night person than a day person.
So you got any last words of wisdom before we end the Knights of the Round Table today?
Several, but I can't think of them right now.
Well, I guess I'll go and then I'll...
We've said before, and I'll say it again. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. When life gives you crap, make fertilizer.
Yeah. Sunshine said, "Love is the most powerful energy there is, and it is the love you have, Shaziz, that keeps you going, doing what you do here. Thank you." See, now that's what I'm talking about. We don't do this for fame or fortune. We do it for love of our humanity and our future of our children. And, man, like I say, if we give up and we walk away and nobody else is doing it and saying it, there's no ripples in the pond, and everything just goes downhill from there. If there's no good police officers, then they're all bad. If there's no good government officials at least trying, then they're all bad. You see what I mean?
Yep.
So words do matter. Words are powerful. You can raise somebody up to the highest heights of heaven, or you can drop them down to the lowest depths of hell with the words that are coming out of your mouth. And if you use your power of your actions to do lead by example, and other people see the benefits that you have in your life because of the way your life just seems to work out so well, they're more apt to follow you. And if you want people in this world to treat you a certain way, then you need to teach people how to treat you by showing them the respect that you want in kind. It's as simple as that. So everybody, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I hope that something here, basically, it made your life a little bit better. And I hope that those aliens out there, they get this message as well. And don't discourage to come and visit us, because not all of us down here are crazy. Some of us are really trying to clean up the mess. So, with that said, you've been listening to Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love. If you like the podcast, please share it with all your friends out there. Bring them to the table. We'll fix this world one positive pebble at a time.
Oh, woman,
take care.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here.
Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't...
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsignable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have have to push the pram along.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. To Shaziz the Terrible. All those who are king, Shaziz the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.